The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I can't trust in a political. corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 19th of May, 2014. And I don't know if you know, but there's been a Michael Jackson sighting. And he's back, and he's actually showing up at places. Did you see that last night?
No.
Hey, Ben. He showed up last night at the award show and actually performed. He really did. No. Your mic's not up. I should have known. Turn Ben's mic up for me. He's on the one. Yeah, he showed up last night at I think the Billboard Awards, and he performed and everything. It's like, you know, Machiavelli. He's back.
It was Tupac and Elvis.
No, Tupac has been showing up all over the place. Anyhow, Elvis hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah.
Nat King Cole showed up. But Nat, they have a hologram now. Actually, Michael's been in Vegas for a while now. And seriously, he's been showing up in Vegas for a while with Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Yeah. The technology has allowed him to come back to life. So when you see Michael Jackson going down the street, please do not call law enforcement.
It's really Michael.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to worry about, you know, people chasing him down the street. Now he can just push a button and like poof and disappear.
You know, if I was him, I would have done the same thing a long time ago. With all the problems he had with the police and everything.
You might as well leave him over there.
I think I probably would have done the Machiavelli thing and just disappeared.
I mean, I don't think technology was as up. I don't think technology was as because it's been 5 years since he passed. I don't think it was prepared quite as proficient or as it is today. Because today it is, you can't, if you don't know, you can't tell. What are you saying, Jeff?
Don't do me 5 years, please.
He's been dead 5 years.
Oh, no. I don't believe.
Turn your mic off.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I'm not finished talking yet.
That's all right. You get ready.
I'll rattle after that. Okay.
No, watch it.
I'm upset.
Turn your mic off.
I ain't turning it off.
Why?
Because I'm obstinate today.
That's not new.
I have defiant disorder.
defiant disorder.
Oh, you saw rage? The rage where people just go off and go on a rage?
No. This is a disease that I think Diva has, because it causes you to always have to defy or argue back, no matter what. You'll lie, you'll do everything. It's called, Diva's not a liar, though. But, it's like, it's a thing. I caught it over the weekend.
Yeah. You can't tell it's a thing. We don't know what the thing is.
I can't tell you what it is.
People know what it is. You're going to have to Google it and find out.
It's a thing.
It's a disorder.
It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing disorder.
Yes. It's something they invented so that they had an excuse for these people who are committing murders and stuff.
Oh, that's just called demonic. Oh, sorry.
And kids in school so you don't beat them.
Yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, Jeff.
Yeah.
You told me cut it off.
Just because you're going to rattle paper. Ben, what's been going on? I wasn't here last week.
Listen.
Were you here last week? Or were you gone last
week? No, I was here. I was here for that for Monday.
Where was I? I wasn't here.
No, you weren't.
Oh, okay.
But look how beautiful it is outside. Today is just, everything's going great. It's like you didn't even play happy because you didn't have to, because everything's wonderful.
But I queued it up. Hold on.
You queued it up?
Oh, yeah. I queued it up. Because Monday wouldn't be the same without happy.
Without, yeah. No, it's great. You know, summer's starting to come
around. No, it's not. It was 37 degrees last night.
I said, yes, but it's still beautiful sunny out. It's warming up.
It was beautiful yesterday. It rained all weekend, I hear.
The weekend, yeah.
I hear you guys were floating down the street.
It rained all last week.
That too.
I mean, if I heard a voice saying build an ark, I'd be building an ark.
See, yeah, I queued it up. I can't go without it.
But without the rain, you're not going to have the flowers, so, you know.
What flowers? April, right now, they're washing away.
April showers.
Bring May flowers. Okay.
May.
It's May what, 19th?
Yeah, we got flowers coming up. They're all over the place now. I got flowers out in front
of
my house.
That's because they're in a greenhouse.
No, they're in front of my house doing work. In fact, it's so good out. It's so great to be alive. It's like as if Obama never existed. That's how good it is.
Jeez, oh man. Listen, I got something to tell you guys. I went to Indianapolis for the weekend. And Indianapolis, it's a beautiful place. Indianapolis was gorgeous. Your mic's on.
It's like in the middle of nowhere, though.
What did you do, leave your car down there?
Mm-hmm. There's a centipede going down the wall.
Where?
He just landed on the floor.
And he got to go.
Yeah, because I don't like him. They give me the heebie-jeebies.
Anything that has more than two legs gives me the heebie-jeebies.
How big was
he? He was a baby still. Just keep him on that side. And
I can't find him.
That's because you can't see.
He's got more than four legs. I got to go.
He's got more than four legs.
More than four. More than two. Got
to go. You like cats?
Yeah, but...
Those are legs or the paws?
Those are paws.
Okay.
Those are four paws. That's.
Well, you guys know it's open mic today.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis is beautiful.
It is. It's a nice place.
Been there
myself a few times.
And they don't have a lot of radio stations.
Really?
Not that I like.
They got a black one.
They do?
Oh, yeah. You missed that?
Yeah, I missed that. It's probably playing crazy music. Mm-hmm. Playing rap. I just got done here listening to Ina's trying to rap. I got 99 problems. But a beep 81. Hmm. And now he's got 100. But that was funny. I'm sorry. If you didn't hear Ina's going out and hear them rapping Jay-Z's song, that was hilarious. I said, wow. We got to cut. Sometimes you just have to say no.
Just say no.
Say no.
Mm-hmm. Things just don't work.
Did you know that there's no easy way to get to Indianapolis?
Yes.
I mean, it was
there is an easy way.
What?
Get on a jet and fly.
No. You drive. I mean, even flying.
Yeah.
No, because by the time you get to the airport from here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Get a headset on and tell me what that sounded like.
It sounded like
a lot of noise.
It sounded like something from the crypt.
Oh, man.
You hear that, but you know what? That's not carrying like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you it's not. It's recording on your
ear. I've heard it on the radio like that.
Well, I don't know who did it.
Yeah.
She had to do it because I don't usually do it.
No. I've heard it. When somebody bumps them.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you bump the mic.
Yeah, but when you move that, that does travel through.
In Indianapolis. But let me see. Going there, to fly there, you would have to drive to Cleveland 2 hours ahead.
You can go right out of it.
Oh, you don't have to go to Cleveland?
Akron.
Okay, you got to go to Akron. You got to go to Akron at least an hour and a half ahead. You got to drive at least 40 minutes to get to Akron. To fly, you know, 50 minutes.
To Indianapolis.
To get off, to drive back another 45 minutes from Indianapolis Airport back.
45 minutes?
Almost, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't compute for me.
You gotta see where it.
I know exactly where it's at. I've been there,
but
tons of times.
But it's far reaching from Indianapolis City.
The airport is
further
outside
out.
The city, yeah.
Yeah.
The airport is 10 miles outside the city.
Outside of downtown, but not if you're on the west side of Indianapolis.
You mean the northwest side?
Northwest west side.
Okay.
It was not a convenient. And then I said, okay, I'll drive. So I got to tell you about Google Maps and GPS. I got there. I went down 71. I went over, and it took on 70 and
70, yeah.
And went straight in. So coming back, I was leaving for somewhere else in Indianapolis, and it took me the northern route through 23. I ended up on 80 coming home.
Oh, no, you went the wrong way. But it cost you too much money, didn't it?
Google Maps, got our turnpike.
You know what? I'm going to find Google Maps one day, and when I do, I'm going to jail.
Because it took me that way.
I don't
and
use Google Maps.
I like Scoop. There's an app called Scout. Yeah, Scout, I think it is.
No, I bought one of the new Garmins, and it'll actually.
You bought an Garmin? Why would you buy a Garmin with your GPS on the phone?
Because the Garmins are much better. In fact, like I was telling one of my friends, going down to the Pittsburgh Pirate game,
does that sound like an airport landing?
Those are the Thunderbirds and all the other jets that were here over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're leaving.
Yeah, I wanted to go see the air show.
I did, too.
I mean,
it was cold and rainy.
Yeah. One of my friends took a ride in the bomber.
Really?
Yeah, he paid $2,500. Got the ticket over a year ago to ride in it. I would have loved to. They won't let you go in the ball turret, but if they would have let you go in the ball turret, I think I would have paid the money to do it.
Why?
Because my uncle, who I really admired, was a ball turret gunner during the Second World War, and he's told me a few things. And
how about if I get you a picture?
Huh?
Yeah, I'll make you one out of a paper. Hold on. Give me a piece
of
paper, Jeff.
No. To fly it.
I'm going to fly it.
Yeah, that would be really just something.
Well, I heard yesterday the weather was nice, and I heard people were waiting for hours at a time to get on the bus, to get off the bus, to get back.
I don't know.
I heard it was a little hard. Hey, Larry Long, how are you this morning?
Hey, Tracy, how you doing this Monday?
Monday is good.
I know. I was listening. I was waiting for Happy to play and didn't play.
Hold on. Hold on. I got a request. Long if you feel like happiness is a all I needed was a request.
No,
that's
all
I needed.
Yeah, but it's such a great Monday, you don't even need to play that. See?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a happy song.
It's raining somewhere.
Hey, Jeff, while you on air, I'll take care of Mark Morton there on your Facebook trying to talk the craziness. I got him.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah. I'll man the post while you on the air.
Hey, man, you know we ought to do a blog. You know that.
Well, Jeff, it's just crazy. They in one breath, they'll say, well, yeah, Obamacare is cost and layoff, but then the article switches over to Tennessee and Indiana and says, well, they didn't take the expanded Medicare coverage, and that's why it's costing them problems. Well, why is the whole article that you talked about was the Cleveland Clinic? If the Cleveland Clinic is laying off, and Kasich, he did expand Medicaid coverage, did he not, here in Ohio?
Absolutely did.
Yes, he did.
And really got his, you know, I mean, a lot of conservatives got riled up at him about it, but here he is, Kasich's expanding it, and I understand his rationale for expanding it, but you got hospitals, nursing homes, assisted care, living facilities, all of them are laying off people. And but they want to boo-hoo it, say, no, that's no big deal. That's a big deal if you work there and they took your job away because of the health care law. And you talk to these people, Jeff, and, I mean, the hospital administrators, the owners of these nursing homes, I mean, they keep asking them to do more, or demanding that they do more, but then cut their payments down. I mean, they can't survive.
Listen, we have bigger problems than that. Private practice, as we now know it, is getting ready to become obsolete.
Yeah.
This is true.
Like I said, I got a call from my doctor in Cleveland telling me he could not see me anymore from the Cleveland Clinic.
Why did you do it? You smell bad.
No, because I was a cash paying customer, and they are no longer allowed to accept cash paying customers up at the Cleveland Clinic.
The sad thing, Tracy, is you got guys out
everyone
here.
Everyone
like
faces
Jason,
challenge.
Like Scott Walker, like Bobby Jindal, Nick, I think her name is Nikki Haley down there in South Carolina. They're busting their butt to make their state attractive and getting lower unemployment than the national average, but they keep facing headwinds coming from D.C. I just think if everybody was all, you know, singing to the same music, how great it would be. But, you know, it is what it is. You got a leftist, progressive administration that is putting up hurdles to economic progress all around. You know, you're paying higher utility bills right now because of the EPA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And once again, these renewables that they're talking about or the new green energy is not affordable. And what they're doing, what Obama said he was going to do, raising, he said, your energy costs have to skyrocket for my plan to work.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and so
that means all this new oil we're finding in the Ohio Valley and all this new gas we're finding can't exist, can't go to market.
Well,
and he's stopping it.
He's
going to
stop
it.
He's going to keep stopping it from going to market. And you know what the fastest growing energy source is in the world?
What?
In the White House, it has to be gas, but
it's coal. And that is wild. Now, here it is. We're up there, and people don't realize that all these underdeveloped countries that are developing, they're not using natural gas. They're not using a lot of other things. They certainly aren't using nuclear. They are going for coal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one, the fastest growing energy source in the world.
Okay.
That's why you see the attack on the Koch brothers and anybody else that produces coal.
Yeah. I've got to take a break, but when I come back, I want to talk about this libertarian Koch brother, Harry Reid, energy, and the two openly gay Republicans that are running for Congress. We'll be right back.
Car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on
Lake... Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Harper Keegan with your headline news. St. Joseph Immaculate Heart of Mary School is indeed closing. On Friday, students brought home letters announcing the closing at the end of the school year. The Youngstown Catholic Diocese is expected to release a statement about it today. 5 years ago, St. Joseph and Immaculate Heart of Mary Schools merged because of declining enrollment, but it's still an issue. This year, the combined school had an enrollment of less than 100 for grades K through 8. Fire investigators say the blaze that broke out on Ohio Avenue in Youngstown Friday night was an act of arson. Neighbors say arson is a problem in that area. In this latest case, there was no damage to any other homes. And for Sunday services, Elizabeth Missionary Baptist Church opened its doors to members of Grace Evangelistic Church. A fire ruined Grace Evangelistic last Monday. The bishop there said, "You never know who your friends are until that hour comes." For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The best things in life are free.
The world has changed. The old ways of saving for retirement, they're gone forever. Today, you need Legacy Financial Strategies. Legacy Financial Strategies offers you the safe retirement roadmap you're looking for, plus tax-free retirement solutions. That's right, tax-free retirement solutions. To set up your free review, log on to leavealegacy.com. That's leavealegacy.com. Or call 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. Today, you need Legacy Financial Strategies. And make sure to listen to the Legacy Financial Strategies radio show Thursday mornings at 9 and Saturday mornings at 11 on News Talk 790 WPIC.
Sweet deals on News Talk 600. Your chance to try some of the best businesses in our area at a tremendous value. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website to take advantage of half-price gift certificates from our area restaurants, golf courses, spas, salons, and more. Visit our website and see upcoming deals and open offers that you can take advantage of right now. Every week, you'll find half-price deals from some of the area's best places to dine, play, and shop. So where else can you pay half price? Only right here at the home of the Sweet Deal. Visit our website and click on the link to see this week's deal, plus upcoming deals and open offers that are discounted even more. Then, get ready to shop Fridays at 9 a.m. So make your half-price deal, and within 10 minutes of your purchase, we'll email you a certificate to print. Sweet Deals, every Friday morning at 9 a.m. from 600WSOM.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 30 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM on the East Coast. Hey, don't forget, we've got an app out there. If you go to your app, your Play Store, or wherever you get your apps for your Android, type in WSOM. You'll see it. It's got a little flag going on there, and there is an app there. You can call from there, and the phone lines here locally, 330-781-9600. It'll automatically call us in. And you'll reach us in this open mic. They want to hear from you and have Jeff and Ben. Sticks is missing in action, and I don't think he told me he wasn't coming. Does anybody know where Sticks is? What did you guys do to Sticks?
I didn't do nothing. Nothing.
Sticks is MIA.
Well, you know, he's getting older, so.
Yeah, I know. He's got a birthday coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be, he's getting ready to hit. What if he got his Buckeye card?
You don't get a golden Buckeye card at 50.
Oh, you get that at 50? Well, you
55.
You get an AARP card.
Oh, AARP.
You mean I'm only 3 years away from an AARP? Oh, geez.
you're going to get an and I want to know how AARP knows my birthday.
I better get through my midlife crisis.
I want to know how AARP knows who when my birthday is. Who?
It's online.
It's not. My birthday's not online.
Oh, yes. I think everything's online.
My birthday's not online.
Am I allowed to say it's because of the Obama administration?
No.
They have well,
all
your medical records were collected by the Obama administration.
But that doesn't mean AARP have it.
I'm sure they have access to it.
Guarantee you, because they supported health care.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Red Lobster got sold. Darden sold Red Lobster.
You know what? That's the biggest farce.
What?
They sell the stuff that works, and then they wonder why
they're down.
Lose money.
They're down 8.8%.
I said they sell the stuff that works, and then they get rid of it.
8.8%. They're down eight.
They let their gumbo go.
Well,
5 years ago, 6 years ago.
So the gumbo made it go drop 8.8%. People went there for the gumbo.
I did.
So they also own Fridays, the Darden Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Well, they own Longhorn. They own Specialty Group. They own.
Yeah.
They're going to focus more on Olive Garden.
Olive Garden. Yeah.
Like we need another Italian restaurant in Mahoning Valley.
Well, maybe not here, but you know, across the country, the Italian restaurants are kind of lacking because there's not too many Italians.
I have a question.
Indianapolis is one of those places.
What?
They don't have a lot of Italians.
Yeah, they need an Olive Garden.
Yeah, they were happy to have Italians.
They have Olive Garden. That's it.
They have barbecue.
Oh, yeah, very good barbecue.
They have barbecue.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, oh, my gosh, I had the best ribs the other day at Smokey Bones. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
Smokey Bones does a good job every now and then. Not as good as Charlie Staples?
No.
Okay.
Well, his sauce is better, but, you know, I had the ribs at both places, and...
And I
miss the old Charlie.
I have to tell you,
though.
I got to tell you something. Well, everybody just wants to go into that little dive in the wall. I tell you who has a good
with the bread and all.
I mean,
so
I tell
good.
You who has good dive barbecue.
Yeah.
The Royal Oak. I got to give JK a shout out because I'm giving free advertising to Darden.
Hmm.
The Royal Oak, over on Oak Street.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yeah, but anyhow, if you guys. Or good, want some good barbecue at home, go get the Charlie Staples sauce. It's really
yeah, get the Charlie Staples sauce.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Question.
What?
Is it because it's spicy over at the Oaks?
Oh, no. No, they got something called raspberry carpet. They got something called raspberry. They do
so
something.
They do have a mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to get their wings with the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And I had to have a half gallon of water. It tasted good.
No.
And I don't like hot. On everything.
I
don't like it on my meat.
I like the Cajun wings, the Creole spices they put on the wings now, instead of the barbecue or the hot.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's really good.
I'm black. I like barbecue. Barbecue.
I like golden garlic. All of that.
And actually, I was listening to a comedian the other night. And said, America.
I'm black. I like barbecue.
I like barbecue.
Well, I like barbecue.
Like watermelon too?
Absolutely.
No, I don't get that. I'm Italian. I like spaghetti.
That makes sense. That's what I'm saying.
But
if
I don't.
Italian likes red sauce.
But if Italian, I don't like pizza.
No, pizza's not Italian.
No,
that's not true. Because
I never understood that statement. I like something because I am something.
Pizza in the United States is not.
Pizza's not Italian.
Pizza's not Italian.
Not like this.
It's
not
like French fries. Not French.
Well, that's German.
So why they call them French?
Well, hot dogs aren't American.
They hated the French.
Hot dogs are American.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're German.
Yes, they are.
They're German.
No.
The Frankfurter.
A hot dog is not a Frankfurter.
Yes.
No.
Frankfurter hot dog is a Frankfurter.
A hot dog. You want me to sing the song?
What song?
I mean, I think the only thing American now are tacos.
Listen, I got to ask you guys. Since we're talking about crazy stuff. Do y'all know there's two openly gay folks running as Republicans for Congress in America this term?
Yeah, I found that out when we had the candidates for the Tea Party guys were going up against the governor.
Isn't that an oxymoron, though?
I found that out.
Yeah. Well, I know it's not a, I mean, it's not an oxymoron, but and people, wait a minute, at least the gay folks are diverse. Black people are not diverse anywhere in America when it comes to their politics. I don't understand that.
Well, this that's not true. True either.
What, that's it no, is? They, when it comes to their politics? Are you nuts?
How do you explain Jeff and yourself? And South Carolina and a bunch of our intelligent callers.
You know what it's called?
What?
Enigmas.
Absolutely.
We're called enigmas.
That's not normal.
No, enigma is a machine that was invented by the Germans.
Oh.
To keep things
yes,
secret.
Larry?
Yeah, I have to agree with Jeff. You know, well,
we can't get people to think.
I'll equate it to this. I mean, I had a football coach that I admired since I was in seventh and eighth grade, first African-American that I knew that I could put my hands on that went to college and had somebody else pay for it. They paid. He was a great football player, went and played college. Didn't get drafted, but had a tryout with the Bears, and he was the last cut. But then, so I admired this guy. He was huge. He was smart. He taught me how to play chess. But I started after I got older. I saw some of his faults, personal faults. He was a little bit like Bill Clinton at the personal faults, and it was kind of hard for me to accept those because I admired this guy, and I think that's where we are as African Americans. We've been brainwashed for so long that Republicans hate us, they're racist, and that Democrats are our friends. And then when we see stuff, we just instead of it's like the ostrich. Put your head in the sand, don't see it. Like because Jeff pointed out in the Mahoning Valley there, you got a leader. And that is a racist. There's no doubt about it. What he did to and the way he talked, if you would think he was a Republican if you just listened or saw his comments.
Who are you talking about? Who?
You know who I'm talking
Beatrice
about.
Beatrice is an elitist.
Beatrice is a racist. He said some racist comments in front of me. I checked him on it. He said some stuff. What did Hagen say to that brother that was in the bar that he got into it with? You know what I mean? And then he had some stuff on Facebook. But we overlook those. And I say we, the African-American community, because he's a Democrat. They love us.
Well, yes, they do. I thought you knew. I've been talking about that all weekend, about how much in love they are with us.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, this is, if they love us, boy, I'd hate to see them hate us. You know what I mean? I mean, because it's coming out now. I mean, I think it was one of the liberal, progressive African-American journalists, he come out and admitted it over a year ago. At the end of Obama's term, we as black people will have stepped back in every economic indicator that's measured.
I've been saying that for two and a half years, and I still can't get other people to understand. If you don't, y'all can buy a drone. If y'all don't wake up, you're going to need a drone.
But we got our guy. He looks like us.
Okay.
And we still going backwards.
So when does looking like somebody make you want of me or make you care about me? Because I got people that look like me, and they don't care about me.
I equate it to what's going on right now until we open our eyes and say it, you know, and admit it. Hey, you know, they don't have our best interest.
Eric and Mike is on. I was in Indianapolis yesterday, and they asked me my favorite quote, and I told them, you can't handle the truth. I want a prize.
Hey, Tracy, how do you feel about Ron Emanuel giving city jobs to illegal aliens?
What's wrong with that?
That's what I'm
what's wrong
looking
with that?
At right now, Eric.
That's what Republicans go to jail for.
What's wrong with doing that? I mean, you have to give equal access. I was watching MSNBC this morning, and I was watching Chris Matthews, and he had a little, a promo for a show, and they do all these, like, timely moments.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's all about equal rights, equal living, and equal people, and everybody having the same. So what's wrong with giving jobs to illegal people? It's okay.
Not unless you're a Republican.
Well, what's wrong, Tracy, is you got 30% unemployment of African-American youth between the ages of 18 and 25, but you're going to give jobs to illegals. That's the problem.
No, the problem is that, black people, the only reason why they're not working is because they're not looking to, they don't want to go to work. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I got beat up last night because I put a thing up there about Julia, staying on the government system from birth until death, and people need to come off of it so that they're not enslaved to the system, and I got beat up. I'm just convinced that people just don't understand that, it's all about racism.
I don't know if it's about racism. I think it's about lack of work ethic.
No.
Because there are people out there that do not want to work. They want the government to take care of them. I think it has nothing to do with the color of your skin.
No. Listen, I'm telling you, it's about racism. I read it. I saw it. I'm watching it. Right now, we've got more racism going on in America than ever before.
And it's all on the one side, I think. And they blame
Republicans for everything, but it always seems to be a Democrat coming out in the wash.
All the time.
I still think it crosses color.
No, they're blaming everything on racism.
Well, they have to.
Black people are falling into it.
Yeah, you got to have a scapegoat.
So they got it.
Yeah, they got the scapegoat. But it's not reality.
Oh, Covina, man, don't you agree with me?
No, I think you're being facetious, and it doesn't help the conversation just to be.
I'm serious. Am I right?
Covina Man right. And the White Devil agree.
Listen,
on something.
I am sitting here watching something about remembering Brown versus the Board of Education. We are coming up on 100 years, if I'm not mistaken. No, 60 years. 60th anniversary. 60th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Yet schools are just as segregated then as they are now, based upon social and economic statuses. And it's all about, the white man got his foot on my neck.
Let me try to break it down.
I'm serious.
You're not being serious. So let me just break it down on a serious note. When you're talking about the one caller was talking about the Democrats doing something, you got to realize that black people are part of the Democratic Party. It's part of a coalition party. It's not a party of one particular agenda. If most people are in the Democratic Party are pretty much single-issue voters or single-interest groups. The gays are in the Democratic Party for the gay agenda. The black people are in there for civil rights. The Hispanic people are in there for illegal aliens. The feminism are in there for abortion. There are people in there for... Now, everybody in that coalition may not agree with every other position in there. So you probably have some gay, illegal, alien, feminist people who don't agree with black civil rights. But that's part of the coalition that black people have agreed to, that they're going to work with the people because we, as a group, don't have the majority, so you have to make a coalition with somebody in order to win elections. And so it's usually the people, the outcasts, going against the establishment majority, which is black people are in the Democratic Party because the established majority of white people don't like civil rights or whatever. So that's where black people are in the Democratic Party. You don't expect that everybody in the Democratic Party is going to agree with you. It's just a coalition thing.
Based on that, couldn't you say just the opposite? Like you can say that people aren't in the Democratic Party because they don't agree with abortion. People aren't in the Democratic Party because they don't believe in homosexuality. That goes both ways.
And like I said, going by what you're saying, there are coalitions in every group. But let me say this.
How to get an...
Sorry about that. Saying what you're saying, and what I'm saying is, I'm watching, they're still separate. I'm reading an article in USA Today from over the weekend that says still separate and still unequal. But is that because of us, or is that because of the way the system is set up and how our politics have been one-sided over the last 60 years? We don't want to take. I was telling them over the weekend, we are not monolithic at anything except for our politics, and we wonder what's wrong with us. And you're telling me that I'm being facetious, or I'm being cynical because I tell you that everything is based upon race because that's what they tell you to believe. You believe it, and then you tell me when I say it that I'm saying it wrong.
Covina, man, let me say something here. What you just said if that was the reason why black people were in there, that would be somewhat smart. But guess what? Black people aren't getting a doggone thing out of it. So tell me why it's in their best interest to be there.
But this is the issue, Jeff.
No.
They don't realize that they're not getting anything out of it.
But,
see,
that's not the point. I want him to realize.
Hold on. I think they're getting something out. The top black leadership is getting paid off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So they're getting something from it.
And they're getting something to tell you that you got something, but at the end of the day, if you look around, you don't even know that you're not getting what you thought you have. Because just because you get a free check in the mail, you think you have something.
And this does not go for
black America, it goes for people who are impoverished.
This is history repeating itself. Black people sold black people into slavery back then. They're doing it again today.
But this is not about black people selling black people into slavery. Black leadership is selling black people into slavery, but black people are also selling white people into slavery.
Both,
the same side.
Oh yeah.
And see, when Republicans do things, and I heard this over the weekend. We were talking about the expansion of Medicaid and of how John McCain took a hit for actually expanding Medicaid. And I said, John Kasich. And they said, well, the reason why he did it is because white people are poor too.
Oh God.
And I said, I didn't carry the conversation on any longer. And I said, wow, look at how the view is. I mean, you have to understand, look at how they skewed the view, because for some reason, we think that when it comes to our political rights, where we're going, what we're doing, we think that it is separate, and it's not separate. It's a collective who they've separated so that you don't get anything done, because the last thing they want is for urban black folks and rural white folks to come together and go against the government.
Divide and conquer.
Right.
And that's what they're doing.
That's what Jim Crow was all about. Keep them separate. Keep them away. Make them think that they cannot work together, because if they ever come together on one accord on the same issue, they will overthrow the government. So let's take racism and divide them.
Yes, and we'll put a nice little tag with it, and we'll call it separate but equal.
Absolutely,
and it's nothing but equal.
And so they put this in the Bill of Rights, and when you look at, I look at the voter. The voter suppression and the Voting Rights Act.
That really must have been suppressed last Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. But when they talk about the striking down of the Voting Rights Act and how it's hurting black people, because we have undereducated people, that it was going after a small segment of states and not going after all the states to make everything equal and lateral across the board, that's undereducation. That's misinformation. It's so they come out different. And, and let me finish. So until we actually start educating people, because they don't understand it, and so they think because there was 9 states that it was equal, but now that you want to cover all 50, it's unequal. Hello?
Wake up, America.
They think that because you allow the Dream Act to come in and they give jobs to people who are outside, but it won't give you the training and the jobs, it's unequal. And that's equalizing stuff. And as you slide further and further down the food chain and you bring more people into the line, you think that that's equalizing you, and all it's doing is separating you and causing you more demise.
They had equality in the Soviet Union.
They don't understand. No, not yet.
They have it in China right now.
Yeah, you got the ruling class.
See all the other
Barack Obamas and the Hillary Clintons.
Because they're in the studio. Hold on, Covina, man.
You got the Barack Obamas and the Hillary Clintons in the ruling class, and then everybody else is going to be equal down here with a scrap of bread and a glass of water.
And I was listening to something while I was driving from Indianapolis, and they were talking about communism back in the 60s and how they were trying to find communists. And it was a real big thing about people who were communists.
Oh, yeah, the Hollywood, there was a blacklist, everything.
They were really concerned about communism.
Yes.
Do you understand that communism has risen its head today and nobody calls it communist? Go ahead, Covina, man. Okay. Communist. Okay. The problem is, I'm gonna stick to the seriousness. I heard somebody else being cynical again, but I won't be they're being cynical about black people being sold into slavery. Let me be serious.
Covina,
man,
hold on.
I got a question for you. Do you not believe that black people are not enslaved today?
Not just black people.
No, answer the question. Do you not believe that black people are enslaved today?
We are not in slavery today, no.
Okay. Then go ahead and talk so we can understand where you're coming from.
Okay. Now, to be serious, black people are in a coalition with other people. Now, we don't restrict who it is we in a coalition. We don't say, poor white people, you can't come over here. In fact, we're part of a coalition of people who are basically poor, asking for a minimum wage increase, and blase, blase, whatever that is, right? So it's not that we're saying to other white people, like the people in the studio who want to say, oh, we don't work with them, we're divided on race. We're not saying to you, you can't come in and join our coalition. That's not us saying that to you. You decide you don't want to come over here and work with us. You only want to work with the black people who are the outcast of the black group for whatever reason.
What?
That's the only people you wish to work with. You wish
Covina
to work
man,
with
that's
Alan
hilarious.
West.
Covina man.
I'm just saying, let me just finish my point. But you want to work with Alan West. You want to work with Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes.
But you don't want to work with real black people who fought.
I'm
for
stopping that one right there. He said that we ain't real.
Let me say this. Alan West wasn't a real.
No,
person.
He said that he called me not real.
Listen, Covina man, and let me give you the absurdity of what you just said. Now, you're working with Democrats, you say, coalitions in the Democrat. That's why black people do that. And we don't want to work with real black people. How about the real black people have been brainwashed by your side to think that all Republicans or all conservatives are prejudiced or racist? That's the stupidity of it. When you got everything, every advance in society that you ever earned and ever got came at the behest of the Republican Party. So now, you're up there talking this noise about, you know, you don't want to work with real black. I work with anybody that will work with me. But I will not work with somebody.
But he called you not real.
Well, I'm just saying.
So you got to understand the mindset of what he said.
I know
so
exactly.
What I'm saying is the mindset of what he's saying is what you're looking at is people who sell you out as real and people who work for you as superficial. 557, your mic is on.
Oh,
Alabama.
You mean 334, right?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning? Are you a real
you
person or are you superficial?
Superficial.
I'm fake. I mean,
that's what I thought.
I don't agree with the Democrat. You don't agree with the Democrat Party. You fake.
I just became the
absurdity of what Covina Man said is that's the separatist. That's what's keeping the races separate.
Absolutely.
And that's that's a Democrat speaking there. So I mean,
sit down and talk with us. Go ahead.
I can't figure out why any black person that says to the black community, "Let's build ourselves up and forget about this government handout stuff," isn't real.
The same reason why. Independent. We demonize people being independent. See, what we don't understand is, and this is what is not taught. When you are enslaved, you look to other people for your livelihood. When you are free, you have to go fend for yourself because no one takes care of you.
Right.
And people like being enslaved. I was listening to David Jeremiah, I think it is.
Probably.
And David Jeremiah was talking about what happens when the colliding of when people are in panic and in starvation mode, they run to the government and they enslave themselves for their protection.
I have heard that over the history of mankind, slavery is the normal state of man and not freedom.
And if you look at it, and if you look at the mind of this, every time that a nation goes into crisis, it runs to the government to take care of them. The government enslaves them. And then they go, when they come out of crisis, then they're owned by the government and they have nothing.
What have I been saying for the last 2 years on this program, trying to make them understand the early 20th century progressive deal? You had people that wanted to enslave you to your factory through debt and education, and that's being transferred now that we have these huge conglomerates to the government and the big corporations working together to enslave you into government payments and requirement and dependence on your employer.
I'm walking up to my top of the hour break, but I want you to think about this. Today, AT&T and DirecTV, AT&T said that I want to acquire a DirecTV. A while back, we heard that Comcast and Time Warner want to merge. Well, the Telecommunications Act of 1996 broke up big telecommunications companies. Ma Bell was broke up. Your energy was broke up. A lot of things were broken up. And the only people that were hurt was minorities when it came to their ownership inside the playing field of media. So now you have this conglomerate, you know, big business coming back stronger and better than ever. Conglomerates are on the rise now. And the only one not playing and the only one not succeeding inside of this conglomerate is those that are of minority status.
Well, listen, what's healthcare now? It's a big conglomerate.
And that's what I'm saying.
They're creating.
And the only people that are going to hurt are people that are in poverty.
Yeah, because once a monopoly is created, there's no price check.
You had a situation where you don't realize that with the things that they're asking for, in America, you had the right to own a business. You didn't have that right in most other countries. But in America, you have the right to own your own business. Now these people want to come through and destroy small businesses by talking about raising a minimum wage by $3-4 an hour. And they are serious about this. They're not even playing with it. They're serious and don't realize what it's going to destroy.
No, hold on, Kalina Ben. Minimum wage. If you could set prices and market prices where minimum wage would go higher, but gas prices would stay the same,
right.
your food prices would stay the same, but you would get a higher pay.
Raise the
Then you would have something. But if you think that raising minimum wage and raising the prices to pay the minimum wage is going to benefit you, all it does is inflate things even more. And this thing is really getting...
It hurts people without jobs.
Absolutely.
This is the thing about minimum wage I can't make anybody understand. It takes the same number of bushels of wheat, same number of barrels of oil, same number of bushels of corn, same number of pounds of beef to buy an ounce of gold as it did in 1965. That's what I'm trying to explain to people. We're just killing our currency. And it hurts poor people.
Go ahead, Eric.
If you pay somebody to cut your grass, that minimum wage goes through, I suggest you go out and buy yourself a lawnmower.
Pretty much.
And you know the answer I get when I tell people that is, well, I'll just hire the neighbor kid.
He got to have gas.
But the thing is, the neighbor kid ain't paying income tax. He ain't paying FICA. He ain't paying comp.
It hurts
the system even more. Legitimate business owner.
Yes.
And drives everything underground.
Let me say something serious real quick.
You better say it in a minute.
I'm going to say it real quick. I think there's something demonic going on because you're saying something about...
Let me finish.
So you have somebody saying that black people are in slavery, and in slavery you can get raped, you can get whipped, you cannot escape. If black people are free, if somebody were to rape me, they could be arrested. If a white person were to whip me, they could be charged.
Man, you're getting raped every day. I'll be right.
They don't even want to recognize what slavery is and what it isn't. They want to put it in some kind of political situation. It's not slavery. It's not political. It was demonic. And these people are lost. These people are just—I don't understand these black folks. That's the only type of black folks that these white supremacists want to work with: ignorant black people who accept racism. We, the 90+% of black people, 95% of black people, don't accept this white supremacy. We do not overlook it. But these freaking demonic black conservatives, it's a demonic demon. They're possessed by the same devil that's running this dang country. They're devils.
So I'm a devil?
Man, you don't really accept it, man. I don't. You just something wrong with you. But you lost in this thing. You just get sucked into a cult or a personality or something. You have way more sense and way more. You're a good person. But you just get sucked into bullcrap. You get sucked into GOP. You get sucked into
Let me ask you a question. I'm gonna shoot the tires a little bit. Kick the tires. Okay, I'm pro small business. I'm pro business, right?
I'm pro-family. I'm pro-black family. I'm pro-life. I'm pro, you know, I, you know, my thing is, all those things I just named, black people are the same on all that, right?
Right.
The thing is, if I'm pro-business and I want the party that's pro-business, then you probably, you lean more Republican. You lean more Republican on all those issues I just named. To say, this is what I'm saying, to say that in intelligently, I can look at every person across the country who has an R by their name and say that they are a white supremacist is like saying that everybody that has a D by their name loves black people. And I just struggle with that when I look at, objectively speaking, when I look at, you know, the past of the people that we, my parents voted for, that I know I would go study and say, well, didn't this guy say this and say that? And wasn't this guy, yeah, but they changed. And I'm like, yeah, but this guy didn't go become a Republican. Like that, that I mean, every both parties would have to participate in a party switch in all 50 states in order for that to even remotely make sense. I think it's intelligent for us to come in and not vote 100% for either party to get any type of, you know, when you integrate with someone, you have to have, like, that's why I'm, when I talk about integration, Malcolm X said, when you integrate with someone, you have to have something to integrate with, or you're going to look like a fool. And we've integrated 100% into the Democrat Party, and we have nothing to hold them accountable with, nothing to, nothing economically, nothing. There are people that vote 100% Democrat in certain segments, but they have something. They have power, wealth, and influence to affect the political machine. We don't. And what I'm saying is I would rather us just disengage and not vote at all and focus on getting power, wealth, and influence, then come back, than just try to jump in this system and trying to out-reason people like a lot of us do.
Okay, let me interject, or let me say, I think that it's a wrong assumption to assume that everybody with the R and the D has a certain belief, like you had questioned or stated. Because I can look at, let's say, example, Bob Dole, he ran for president, lost against Bill Clinton. I couldn't say Bob Dole was racist. I can't say his wife was a racist. I can't say John McCain was a racist. I don't really see them as, these are white racist people. They might be a different party. We can have disagreements. I don't see that. Then I can look at some Democrats and say, hey, these Democrat people are racist too. So I wouldn't make the assumption that this is because of a D and an R behind their name that somebody is a racist or not. But that's one thing. And the second thing is, I think the whole thing is people switch parties, it happened over time, and how the Republicans became the party of the South, and the South was the home of the Confederate white supremacy people. But you can go to California, you can go to Idaho, you can go all over. There's white supremacy people everywhere, all 50 states. There is no state.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've read Sundown Town, so surely you know that the South gets most of the bad rap for racism. That's racist in and of itself to say the South, and then, oh, we're good people out here, but we're going to make sure, Donald Sterling, make sure that you can't get your hands on the loan, making sure that's real racism to me, because you're cutting people away from resources. That's why I don't care if the man loses his team. He's still a billionaire. So it don't make a difference. If he's racist and he got power, he can do whatever he want to do to black folks. So it ain't, we need to stop cheerleading just because they kicked him out the country club, because that ain't going to do nothing for us.
But the thing is, we'll break down Donald Sterling. See, the thing is with him is, they attacked Donald Sterling because of what he said. Because you or I, who don't have $1 billion, we can say something bad and get slapped in the face by it too. So it's like equal. It's like everyone can get slapped for something they said. But if you take what Donald Sterling did with his billions and discrimination, that only applies to the 1% or the 3% or whatever, the top people, powerful people. They're the only ones that really can be attacked for doing something in the system, because that's the white supremacy system. They're not going to attack him for doing that. They're not never going to attack the 1% for being white supremacist. They only will attack him for saying something stupid, because anyone could be caught for saying something stupid.
I mean, look at what they did to Tim Hardaway a while ago, saying he didn't like gays. Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
They went in on Tim Hardaway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's still recovering from that. He's still licking his wounds.
Isaiah Washington, a lot of black people, they get caught for saying something inappropriate.
And country pop, black people are very anti-homosexual, truth be told. I know they think we're not too just cool with that. We'll say in a minute, you're going to hell with that. Black folks will say that in a minute.
Hey, Alabama, what's the first time somebody tell you and you don't agree with you? You gay.
Because it's a badge of disrespect.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of benefit. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates for Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You'll find out that I'm a Michael Jackson fan. Can you tell? I guess he recorded this and then never released it.
Right.
There's a reason why.
I mean, just like bad.
It is bad.
Mm.
But the music is tough.
This would have been, you know, that would have been one of those internationals. Playing at every club in the world, you know, it's going to be now still, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just the thing, if you get the right amount of money, you can have Michael Shuffle and do a concert.
I think
a hologram.
I think Jimmy Jam is getting ready to be the new...
Jimmy Jam.
He's a producer.
Oh, okay.
He produced this album.
And it's called Afrojack Remix.
Is that really?
I can't do that.
And the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Don't forget, we have a WSOM app. You can download it to your phone and to your iPad, to your Android tablet. Go to your Play Store. Go to your App Store. Download it, WSOM. And from 9 until noon, Tracy and Friends is there. If you can click from there, you can call from there, you can listen from there. And whoever thought that this is how the future would be? Because now you carry your music with you everywhere you go. So there's no such thing as a transistor radio.
Oh man, that's the greatest thing. The greatest invention I think mankind could have ever invented was the iPod or the MP3 player. I mean, I love it. You have your music anywhere you want.
I'm with you.
I mean, I mean, I was happy when the Walkman came around. I was like amazed. But now this is just. Woo.
Sticks, you'd be proud of me. While I was driving yesterday, I even listened to a little bit of NASCAR.
Oh wow!
And then I stopped.
It's exciting.
Hey, this was this was All Star Weekend.
Ooh,
this was All Star Weekend. The racing, nothing but $1 million. The winner of that race got $1 million in cash.
NFL player is accused. Oh, NFL player, his case was dropped. But the rape charge still stands.
I'll give
in Arizona. The Florida case was dropped, but the NFL star still faces rape charges in Los Angeles and Arizona. His name is Sharper.
Oh.
Sounds like he was dollar
and
did all that stuff.
Wait a minute. Why does a sports page look
like,
you know,
Sterling
like...
Sharp. Sterling Sharp.
Yeah. Hey, question. You know this.
Sharper.
She just messed up some
things. No, it says S-H-A-P-E-R. It's S-A-E-R?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that Sharper?
Uh-huh. Sharper.
Don't
Green Bay. I was getting ready to say, you just, because he is usually, you know.
I'm trying to tell you, it says Sharper.
You say same thing.
It is the same thing. Hernandez, I want to know why the NFL or the sports pages now look like the criminal indictment pages. Because I'm looking at Hernandez got indicted. I'm looking at Sharper. I'm looking at, what's his name, POTUS or whatever his name is. The only people not going to jail is the
President of the United States.
No, not him, not the Pontiff. What's his name?
The Pontiff.
Not the Pontiff.
The Pontiff is the Pope.
Not the Pope.
No.
POTUS
no.
is the President of the United States.
No, not the POTUS. The other one.
The United States Pope Stop. Is the POTUS.
No. The Pontiff, the Pope. What's his name down in South Africa that shot his wife through the door? Or shot his
girlfriend. Pistorius.
That's his name. Same thing.
He's going to jail.
So the only one.
If he don't go to jail, I'll be surprised.
That's the longest case in history. The only people not indicted is the horses that are going to the Preakness.
No, they've been indicted, too, for drug use.
Actually,
really?
Yes. Yes, there's doping charges on some of those horses.
Yeah.
On California Dream?
No, California Dream. They don't want him to breed.
Hey, that's
a $2,500 horse.
He got asthma, and they won't put his nose strips on.
Yeah, $2,500 horse is just about right.
The horse has asthma.
And he wears nose strips, and they don't want him to wear nose strips in New York where they're going to run this weekend.
That's not uncommon for horses to have asthma.
I am totally...
What, Kobe and man?
I said, I wonder if he has hay fever.
Good.
Only when he's hungry.
When I was a young man, I worked for a horse farm for a little while, and we actually went into a barn with the hay storage above it, and we put a triple layer floor in, sealed it so none of the hay dust could come down through because of the horse, because it would give the horses asthma.
Oh,
these high dollar horses are athletes.
That's true. And I also want to tell you guys this. I may be cranky in a couple weeks because I hear coffee's going up, and I might not be able to afford it. And as I sit here and talk to everybody, you don't know how much coffee I put in me to keep my calmness.
I will cut.
And you know what?
Wait a minute. We talk about hay fever, and Jeff getting ready to chuck down his asthma machine.
Wait a minute. I can just see myself riding a horse. Come on.
Fresh brain on the horse.
Give me my albuterol treatment. That's hilarious.
Okay,
oh, my
ahead.
God.
Jeff,
I didn't know what's in that. That's a new one. Thank you. I learned something new today.
And I thought you knew everything.
No,
that?
I know it all.
Oh, you know that Mark knows everything.
No,
you
Mark
know it
knows
all.
Everything.
I know nothing.
Okay.
Nobody else is laughing.
Alabama,
at
your mic is on.
Having a horse.
What I was about to say was that
I find it interesting that when animals get sick, they have diseases and things like that, they actually find cures for them. Like animals when in that, because you have to heal a farm animal, because people are losing money. They're like, okay, we don't want the animal to die.
But
we're not trying to just medicate it. We're trying to heal them so we can go ahead. So a lot of times,
you know why?
Animal diseases get healed, but when it comes to human diseases,
you know why?
Nothing's been cured in like a long. We don't really cure too many diseases. We really don't.
He doesn't have insurance. Go ahead.
You know why? It's because animals don't fall under Obamacare.
That's corny.
That's a little bit taking things out of whack here, Alabama. They don't really cure animal disease. We just find vaccinations for most of them. It's amazing the number of vaccinations you give to a cow, especially a dairy cow, when it's a baby.
Really?
Oh yeah. You give them like 10 different vaccinations.
You know what? I'm going to come back.
True.
It's seriously, they have better care than we do now, thanks to Obamacare.
Veterinary.
What I'm saying is that animals actually have better treatment when it comes to a lot of that. If you look at our stuff, that the diseases we've had, ours don't really. We don't get a lot of things since polio. I mean, we hadn't had too many things, straightened out since then. Like usually, if you get something, well, just take this pill. It'll kill you slowly. But at least we'll make money off
it. No. Well, Alabama animals don't have insurance like that.
We vaccinate against measles, mumps.
For horses?
For people.
Yeah, we vaccinate, but
it's the same thing with animals.
But as far as people getting cured, like from hypertension or
diabetes. But you don't do that with animals either, with livestock. You don't.
No.
Those measles and mumps, they had those a long time ago.
What's that?
Measles and mumps, those vaccinations were a long time ago. I mean, just think about...
Let me ask you this.
So you're saying that the health system, the health care, all these pharmaceutical companies are doing their best and they're not just focusing on making money. And when you cut your TV on, you don't see all these vaccinations, these class action suits against these companies because they really don't care and it's coming out. But so you're saying that's not true?
You can have a class action suit against anybody. I mean, that's I honestly believe is ambulance chasing.
They don't care about the cure. They care about the bottom line.
Okay, so hold on. So you're telling me nobody's cured cancer ever? Like it's just cancer's just.
I have no idea.
Like all these people that could have been, it's the known cases of people that have gotten cured.
They just gave a person the measles vaccination. And like a million times the dosage they normally give it and kill their cancer.
Let me say this. Cancer is a growth, and cancer can be removed, and it can be, and some cancers can be prevented, but it can't be cured once you get it. You can burn it, you can cut it out, but you can't cure it because once it grows into a cancer, because all bodies, from my understanding, have cancer. And we have to ask Dr. Mason. He'll give you a little bit more in-depth detail, I promise.
Every body has cancer.
I don't believe a word you said.
But all bodies
have
cancer, huh?
I don't believe a word you said.
What?
Nah.
What are you talking about?
It could be cut, removed, everything.
Cancer?
Yeah. We would cure the White House if that was the case.
Get off of Obama. We move past that.
It's too late, I know.
I'll say this to Alabama's cry. I do believe that many pharmaceutical companies held back certain discoveries that they had until they paid for a lot of their R&D with the treatment drugs that they had so far.
That's what the patent system's for. That's why we pay more money in the United States for our drugs, because most of the pharmaceutical companies are in the United States. So our health care system, through our insurance system, pays for all the R&D for the rest of the world.
440, your mic is on. How you doing today? Be good.
I'm being good. Yeah.
I got to tell you ahead of time, good morning. When you coming in?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to work out a schedule here.
All right.
I'm around horses every day. And what that horse is... It's like a giant breathe right strip, okay? He doesn't have asthma. What he has is he has little blisters inside of his nose, all right? So it makes it less irritating, so when he runs, that's all it is.
So let me ask you this. So you got little blisters inside of his nose that makes it hard to breathe, right?
It stings him. It makes him irritable. Not really. It makes him more comfortable, and it's not a big deal. This happens to a lot of them. It's just because that he's won two of the biggest horse races in the world. That's all. That's all it is. This is very common.
In New York.
Very common.
In New,
like I said, he's got asthma.
And New York doesn't allow that them to use that breathe right strip.
Right.
Well,
why doesn't New York allow them to use a breathe right strip?
Because they're control freaks.
Good.
Okay.
But
I would say,
let me tell you this.
Okay.
They're going to let him. They're going to let him use that. If he doesn't run that race, you know how many billions of dollars the horse racing industry is going to lose across the nation.
Not only that,
there ain't no way that they're not going to let that horse run.
How much money is Vegas going to lose?
Well, you know, they said that there was another horse that had won the two. And he didn't go on to run in this upcoming race in New York.
That almost happens all the time.
It doesn't matter if he wins it. It doesn't matter if he wins it. It doesn't matter if he wins it. What you're talking about, if they decide not to run this horse, places like Northfield, Thistledown, these tracks all across the nation, they get a lot of money in that as far as gambling. This will be all hype. It's like Johnny Manziel. It's just all hype. They'll lose that. They'll lose the walk-up patrons. People that normally don't go to these horse tracks will be there just to see this one particular race. It's that big a deal. It's that big a deal. Also,
wow.
I wanted to make a comment on the cancer thing. I find it amazing that the drug companies they're all concerned about erectile dysfunction and have pills for that, but nothing for cancer.
You know what, though?
You got a point with that.
The thing is, this is documented. I mean, they've ran people, they've sued and disbarred people that have made claims that have documented evidence of healing people. So when I hear people say the pharmacists make arguments for the pharmaceutical companies, I just think they're deceived and don't really know the facts. I'm sorry, Six. I disagree with you.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with you, Alabama, that the system isn't rigged in favor of the big pharmaceutical companies. I'm not going to disagree with you with that at all. I would do away with the entire drug Food and Drug Administration, because that's what's keeping the small guys out. Because if you don't have $100 million, if you don't have $100 million to test your drug and get it approved by them, you can't put it on the market. I'm thankful for the law they just signed in Colorado this weekend, the right to try law, that says that you're going to be able to use any means necessary once you're termed
terminal.
Terminal.
What do you mean any means
population
necessary? Any drug you
hold on, wait a minute. One at a time. What do you mean by that?
Anything you can get your hands on, you're allowed to try.
Yes. Yeah, you become the test subject once you're deemed terminal.
You are permitted to make yourself the test dummy.
Right. So you can try options that are not available to you anywhere else to cure yourself.
If
your finances will take it.
A lot of these people give it to you for free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because if they prove that it cured you, then they're going to make money.
Right. This could prove what a scam the FDA actually is. I mean, it's fascism. It's collusion between the pharmaceutical companies and the government to keep out little people. I will agree with Alabama on that all day long.
It's just like the health care bill. Yes. It's all about the health care companies enriching their bottom line. It's not about helping people have access to health care.
I think it's population control. That's what I think.
Oh, all of that.
That could be too.
Everything is population control.
When you have progressives running anything, and this is the silliness of what Covina man was trying to say, it would be smart if people were having a coalition, but it's stupid if you are have a coalition with people that are dead set on wiping you out and containing you. That's crazy.
Jeff, you're just a conspiracy theorist.
Yes, I am. You better believe it. And,
well, they
and
both say that, though, to Covina Man. I mean, not Covina Man. Jeff, they both say that. In fact, our progressives are the ones that are, Republican progressives. They're going to say our, but the right-wing progressives are just as bad as the left-wing. It's just they have a different worldview. But they're both trying to do some of the same stuff on a lot of other issues.
Alabama. United States early 20th century progressives are who invented all of this crap. Goebbels, or was it Goebbels or or the propaganda minister, Goebbels, and then the extermination guy wrote a letter.
Mengele
wrote a letter to.
He was a doctor.
I forget one of them guys. Oh, Edward Bernays, thanking him for developing all this stuff. And Edward Bernays was right in the middle of the Wilson administration.
Oh yeah.
All this crap came from us.
Yeah, and let me say one thing. The reason why the right-wing progressives are not as bad as the others for me, because I think that there's two different schools of thought on being progressive. One is, first of all, the right-wing doesn't want to wipe people out so much. You know, they're not trying to wipe people out like that. The left-wing are, though.
I can disagree.
I understand, and I may be. Listen, I may be wrong on this. This is my opinion, and I'll you know set it like that. But I think that the right wing progressives want a United States led one world government, and to do that, you can't have less people. You have to have all the people that you can muster, so that you can not only protect yourself in that kind of situation, but so that you can carry out things. And if your military is not strong, which the left always does, they decimate the military. Clinton decimated the military, so when we had Desert Storm, you didn't even have armor on all of your vehicles. That's crazy.
That was the piece of it.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Frank.
You cannot get caught up in the, you know, gut, like the military getting gutted, because a lot of times we don't get told the whole story with the military. I mean, they'll get rid of personnel because it's gotten to the point, all you need is a kid and a computer, in, you know, 200 to 2,000 miles away controlling it, and they can fight a war with it by proxy now. You don't have to have people, like they say. So gutting the military is just a different, just depends on what you really mean.
Well, you know, I worked in a research building, and in 1989 through 1991, we were making parts for F-22s and F-35s. Clinton eliminated that program. We didn't start making those until now it's been like 15 years later. That was old technology, and everybody thinks that's new technology now. Those latest and greatest aircraft are 15, 16 years old.
But no, I agree with you for all that he did. I'm not saying it's not detrimental in certain aspects. What I'm saying is the military, it's like this. That's like saying, I think, and I can't stand Bill Maher, but he actually had a show where he went to both the Democratic National Convention and the Republican, and it was the same companies sitting out, setting up tents, going in with the same people. It's like, that's like saying, I mean, if I'm a defense contractor, I'm going to go to the Democratic National Convention. I'm going to grease some palms too, so I won't get cut. Or if I do get cut, a lot of these moves are political. And what I'm saying is, a lot of these defense contractors will put out this information to make us think that, oh man, you know, the Republicans, and it just keeps us going back and forth. When it's all actuality, I think they're both. They're playing both sides. They have to.
Yep. Yep. They have to. And, you know, like Jeff was saying, you know, like he likes his Republicans, but I'm going to tell you what, that John McCain and that fat boy from doggone New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, they're about to do us.
They're a piece of crap. They are a piece of crap. And I mean,
yeah,
and there's a few of them in there, too. I mean, this ain't on both sides. I'm a Republican. But I'm going to tell you what, on both sides, you got some real, I want to swear, but I ain't going to swear. You got some idiots on both sides.
Yeah,
I mean, this is stupid.
McCain is as big as a $2 bill.
And they do have population control agendas, by the way.
They do. That's why you can't feed the homeless anymore. They want them to start it
up. Oh, what type of Republican do you like? Who's your Republican?
You know, that's a good question, because every now and this is serious. Every now and then I come up with somebody that looks like could be my man, but then and then they do something freaking stupid or say something stupid, and I'm going like, is there, there's just like nobody out there on both sides. There's like,
I mean, I, you know what, though, every time the Republicans run a candidate, he'll actually get out there and say something racist or black people on welfare, black people need just real stupid stuff. And then you wonder, like, these guys ain't trying to win. You can't be trying to win talking like that. So that's,
but not Jeb Bush. Not Jeb Bush. No.
I mean, look, his last name is doomed. That's like Jeff Satan. I mean, he can forget it. Jeb Satan can forget running for office. That's his last name is Satan.
I bet you
they got to remove all of them people. We got to start fresh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't want
no Clintons
am
and no
I right?
Bushes.
Do you guys think that way? We got to start fresh. They're all suckers.
I don't want to see American-led one world agenda order neither. That would be the worst thing in the world for the world.
That would be the worst thing for Africa especially. I mean, that's what's going on right
it'd
now.
Be the worst
they're going over there killing people.
It'd be the worst thing for the world.
What
AFRICOM
call,
is. That AFRICOM
right
is the African
now.
Wing of it.
Is this a one-world, American-led world right now?
No.
No.
It's pretty much. It's like 70 to 80%.
No, it's not that much.
No, not even close.
I think Putin's doing whatever he wants to do, and I think China's doing whatever they want to do. Yeah. I mean, they're not scared of us. They're not afraid of us. Not at all. Especially Putin. I mean, Putin's just
Putin is
right
my hero.
I mean, Putin's the real deal. He's probably going to steal some American.
Yeah,
right
I hate to say it, but I actually
here.
Admire the guy.
I like you, Putin.
It's like, you guys love
he puts his foot in Obama's ass at will.
The man, the man is real.
Obama want to call him a racist so bad.
Yeah, somebody, people love white supremacy, boy. You like people tickle me.
No, Putin, that's not no white supremacy as you know it. That there is some real deal with Putin's going.
That's called having a pair. That's what that's called.
He doesn't care who's in front of him. He doesn't care if you're purple. He wants to be the dog. He wants to be the top dog. He don't care who it is.
Wait a minute. Let's see Putin go down and do something with Israel if he gonna do something.
If they had to, they could.
Ukraine. Yeah, no, but you that's your boy. Let's see him go down there and fix world peace or fix Israel. Let's see your boy do something. Then we'll talk.
Well, let's put it like this. Let's see America do something with Israel.
They're doing something with it. They're suppressing Palestinians. They're committing a genocide against Palestinians. That's what they're doing about it. They funded
Israel. Well, we know that, but I'm talking about let's see America do something with Israel.
They're
not.
Doing it right now. No,
that ain't who's best interest. He can care less about what's going on down there.
Yeah,
I
ain't worried about
like,
no Israel.
I like Israel. They ain't afraid of nobody.
Right, that's your point.
They ain't afraid of nobody. They'll nuke you in a moment.
Well, let's see your
care.
Boy. Let's see them do something with Russia then. If they're their boy, if that's your boy, let's
yeah,
do something with
Ukraine. Israel.
No, I'm saying if you cross them, they're going to get you. There's some bad suckers, man. I'm telling you.
There's no country that's a bully that can do anything to anybody. No, not even China can go do something to us. I mean, China, even though they may be a lot of people, they know it's going to be a real nasty fight. Nobody
so
wants to
see
that.
Their people hate their government. They hate their government worse than we hate ours. That's that thing right there. I don't think that would be a good idea for them to pick a fight with anybody. But...
I'm
love never felt so good. And I doubt if it ever could. Not like you hold me.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 36 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Hey, don't forget to dial about the WSOM app. You can find it at your Play Store and or your App Store.
Absolutely free.
Absolutely free. And you can click in, find it, and call in and hang out with us. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff and Sticker in studio with me. Ben checked out. And it's open mic today. I want to know, did you guys see the Michael Jackson hologram performance last night live?
No, I'm going to have to go find it. I don't watch those shows.
I don't either. I heard about it, but the question is, some people felt eerie. You saw people crying in the audience. It was like, whoa.
I'm hurt myself that Mike is gone. I mean, I really am.
And and so some people liked it, some people didn't. Some people said they felt a little eerie about it, you know, and I can understand that.
That's been done before, but not in a hologram like that.
Not right.
They did a Hank Williams Sr., Hank Williams Jr. video, where they used Photoshop to make
right.
it appear like they were singing together.
Yeah, they did that with Unforgettable.
Yeah.
Nat King Cole.
See, they superimposed them, but this was a 3D hologram, so you really didn't know if it was him, if it was you.
Yeah.
I mean, check that out.
That would be so crazy.
Look at this right here. It'll freak you out. You guys can't see wrong. Right? This is like, look at that.
Yeah, that is creepy.
That's creepy. And it wasn't him. It wasn't a former him. It was a new him in new clothes and new mic. That's just.
They said that was only the only part of the hologram was the head. The rest of it was a singer.
No.
A dancer.
No. Everything was computer generated. No. They, from my understanding, that was a hologram, a 3D hologram. Everything was computer generated.
But I guess to create it,
they
put his
right.
head on another dancer.
Right. No, that's it. That they did.
They didn't actually cut and paste from his performances and change the clothes and create a hologram out of it.
No, that was.
Now y'all know
they
got to bring the cane.
And then
back
the company
they got to bring,
who actually
they brought
created the 3D technology didn't want them to use it.
Right. They filed a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Copyright infringement.
Yeah. So it almost didn't happen. I want to bring up the New York Times Women Inequality of Pay. I want to bring that up for a minute. I believe this with my whole heart. That she may have gotten paid less, but the whole blow-up of it has been staged for political theater.
To help or whom?
It is to make this pay inequality become center stage and to get more women engaged, to make it an ongoing conversation so it will help the midterms.
But how's it going to help the very people that are saying that they're against it? Because those are the people that underpaid her. The very people that were screaming for pay equality for women. The New York Times was right at the top of the list. I mean, I don't think they really want to keep this front and center, because you've got this with the New York Times. The White House pays, what, 20% less to women than men. All through progressivism establishment, they treat women like dirt.
But they don't. You don't know that. See, it's one thing for me to come out and talk about you. It's another thing for you to do what I do. And you will never believe that I do the same thing as you, because I'm not going to report that. And they haven't, and they don't, and they won't. And so I think they're using the New York Times thing to keep this conversation front and center, because they needed to help the midterms. Because income inequality is the only thing that they can think of right now to try to push people out to come out and vote, because there is a very, very passive. Would you say, Eric?
Especially when the candidate's a woman.
Right. I mean, and you got Hillary coming up. You've got all this stuff coming up. It's almost like that we're playing inside of a theater that we're not paying attention to.
You know, here it is again. Is Kavina Man still around?
No, he left.
Okay.
With his left self.
Well, yeah.
Because he don't know we're enslaved.
Far left. Kavina Man.
He don't know we're enslaved yet.
Poor people in America are enslaved by the system. And since the last 5 years, not only are they enslaved, they actually have the government's handcuff around them financially. They can't move to the left or to the right without the government.
I have to disagree with you, Jeff. I think 90% of the American population
absolutely
is enslaved.
Okay, but
and here's why I say that.
I agree with that, Dick.
How many guys can walk in tomorrow morning, tell their boss, take his job and shove it?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
It's happened because we're financially illiterate,
right?
And
we're illiterate. Illiterate.
Yeah, we're illiterate, and we're taught not to think out of the box, so you can make it on your own. We're taught from childhood to get good grades and get a job, and even if you want to work for somebody else, that's great. But have a skill that you can walk off of this job and onto the next one.
Well, even but see, this is the issue. This is the issue that I have. People don't think critically. They don't ask why.
True.
Everybody just walks in and just does what they're supposed to do. And if you question any type of authority, then you lose your benefit.
But here's my point. I have a friend that's a heating and air guy, or a refrigeration guy.
Okay.
One of the best in the area. He's always got two or three companies wanting to hire him. He's a union. He's in a union. But he makes 30% more than union scale because of his skill. He is the freest man I know.
But let me say it this way. Freedom is not about what you make.
No.
Freedom is not about what you make. It's not about what you do. Because there are people who have greater skills than your friend, and they can go anywhere, but they're still tied to a system. They don't understand how free they are and that they have the ability.
Right.
So what I'm saying to you is we have been taught that you cannot go against authority in any way, that you can't question anyone, and you can't beat City Hall.
Well, you know, you have people who are living in what we would consider tar paper shacks on the river that they're absolutely free. They're free. Because they're where they want to be, doing what they want to do, and that's the definition of freedom.
I look at people that are self-sufficient, and when I say this, they may not have all the glitz and glamour of the people that they would want to have. But when you know who you are,
right,
then you have a freedom. America has lost its freedom. People are not satisfied within their own skin. They don't like themselves. They don't respect themselves.
Right.
They don't respect anyone else. And they have no self-worth to make themselves believe that they can go and survive without someone else.
People with the self-worth to look at a boss square in the eye and say, I was hunting a job when I found this one. I'll find another one.
They are not
working for minimum wage. They are not beholden to the system.
But I'm saying this is not a –
It is. That's
no.
all about you, what you think your self-worth is.
But see, you've gone somewhere else. That's not what I'm talking about.
We're talking about the same thing.
You're talking about jobs. You're talking
about
money.
And
I'm talking about there are people who have money who are still slaves to their money. And I'm talking about...
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I'm not talking about tangible money, monetary jobs. I'm not talking about where you work, what you know. I'm talking about just being free inside of your own self. People that were enslaved were
you're talking about spiritual freedom.
I'm talking about spiritual freedom, soul freedom.
Right.
I'm talking
okay.
about
right.
people that were enslaved in shackles. They were in bondage, but they had a free will in their mind to think.
Mm-hmm.
Not about, you know, where they were, but what they can be.
Right.
Not about what they can make. Because they really didn't care about going to the next job. They weren't trying to find a job. But inside their mind, they were free from their bondage that they were in physically. Americans today are physically free and mentally enslaved. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I think we're talking two sides of the same coin.
It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter, you know, I should be able to go and say, you know what, because I know how to read, I can actually become, I go to school. Children go to school today. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he was telling me about his student loans. And he said last year he paid $14,000 in student loans, and only $4,000 of it went to the principal.
That's probably right, depending upon what the structure of the loan is and how many years it's for. And have you looked at the principal paid on a 30-year house note?
Okay, that's just
numbers. That's mathematics.
Okay, and I said, wow. He said, so I am chasing after my student loan payments. So, and you've got to pay 6 months after you get out.
You have to start paying
rent. Right. And if you don't have a job, all those penalties begin to start accruing. And so they make you, so you've got this education, you've got this skill set. He's now making somewhere like $50 to $75 an hour to work.
That's $150,000 a year.
But he's still having a hard time because when he wasn't working, the penalties and the interest were putting him into a bondage.
Right.
So his mental mind, while he's trying to be free now, he's locked into past debt, trying to pay, trying to build, trying to go, doesn't realize his worth.
Did he tell you what the total amount of his student loan debt was?
No, I did not ask him all that. I'm just saying.
We're talking over $100,000 in debt.
I'm just saying. And you walk out of college in bondage. Mental bondage because I don't have a job. You know, if you walk out of college today and we're talking about minimum wage and inequality. And you walk out of college, and 6 months later, you don't have the money to pay. You don't get another job that will give you any kind of income for at least, you know, a year. So you get these penalties and interest that have accrued. Even if you've been paying on it, whatever you're paying on it, it's still accruing.
I got to ask you this, because you probably don't know the answer. Did he dig into the system?
You're missing my point. Pardon me, huh?
Did he dig into the system and apply for deferments?
You hear me what I'm saying? Whether you apply, you still get the penalties for the deferment. You got to pay on it. You got to even if you get a deferment, they add the penalty.
Are you saying this is insurmountable? You're saying that there's no way out of this situation for him?
I'm saying it's not necessarily for him, but he's not the only one. And what I'm saying is, it puts you into a mental blockage as you walk out the door. You're trying to become something. You're trying to go somewhere. You're trying to do the right thing. And no matter where you're trying to go and what you're trying to do, the system is always trying to keep you in bondage. You can go a whole month without spending any money and still have bills at the first of the month.
But let me say this, though, Tracy, if you look at it that way, you're right. But if a person thinks – if you think like a wealthy person, then you say, okay, I just need – what can I do to remove this, to not – because I have student loan debt, and I've made, you know, certain moves in the past to hit it in a major way. When I sold houses, I was able to throw a substantial amount of money at it. Now I'm not afraid of it because I know in my mind I have enough abilities to get my hands on the money, just go ahead and wipe it all out, and I don't have to focus on worrying. You buy an eightplex, an eight-unit apartment building, you get rid of that debt in a year. I don't care, you know what I'm saying? You can get rid of that money.
And a lot of it's psychological, Tracy, like you said, because I just had a class.
Hold on, Bianchi.
I had a young couple in one of my classes, my financial classes at church. She owed $120,000 in student loans. They went on their budget. They put their budget in place. They wiped it out in 2.5 years.
Hey, but listen to what I'm saying.
It's all psychological.
The bondage of it, the mental anguish. We're talking about people who are trying to come out of debt, trying to come out of poverty. Listen to what I'm saying, Sticks. Trying to come out of poverty, trying to work within the rules and the guidelines of society. And society is good on keeping people in bondage. And the majority of Americans right now, no matter what color they are in some type of psychological bondage. And
I totally disagree once again.
And African Americans are really in.
They're in psychological bondage,
hold on,
there's no doubt.
Hold on. And they're really in psychological bondage because they don't even know that they're in.
Right.
And so they check out the system completely. They just check out. And they become a part of the system, and they become Julia. And then those that don't become Julia, they get on the hamster wheel, and as I think Galactic said inside the chat room, it becomes perpetual.
But see, here's the thing. I can be in as much debt as I can. I'm not in bondage to I'm not in psychological bondage. I am in bondage to that debt.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm not. I don't think like them, and I'm never going to think like
but
them.
I said a good majority of them. I'm not talking, Jeff. Just
well,
when I say something.
Yeah, you made a charge. I'm not talking
what happens to you is you are not the norm. But if you look at what's going on in society right now, and look at what's happening with the young people that are coming out of college right now, here we are in May. There are college graduations going on all over the country. And they're talking about minimum wage increases. But you've got people that are coming out of college with insurmountable debt out of inexpensive colleges like Youngstown State with $75,000 debt.
But a lot of this is what degrees are they getting?
Again.
If you had a child, why would you let your child take something like philosophy?
Because I don't know. And if I'm a first-generation college goer, I'm not going to have my kid in college.
Tracy.
You have to understand. Hold on, Pianki. I'm just glad to have my kid in college, let alone what he's taking. I don't know nothing about psychology. Psychology, I don't know what that means.
But, Tracy, I went to college.
I'm just glad to see my son go across the stage.
I was in high school.
Hold on. Hold on, Alabama. I'm just glad to see my son go across the stage, not busting a sag and not having a bullet in his head. Go ahead, Pianki. Because he was before
Sticks,
you.
Sticks hit it right on the button. Why would you have your children taken up philosophy, black history, majoring in black history, are some human resources, and you're going to take out a $75,000 loan in order to complete those subjects many times in 6 years. So those are choices that people make. Everyone cannot be on the up and up. If they were, things just would not work the way somebody sits around the table and plan them to be.
But you got to know something. You got to know when you go in there what to take and what not to take. You've got to know where you're going. And if you don't know, if you don't have anybody that's ever been to college around you, how do you know?
Tracy, it's common sense. I saw a cartoon the other day. It was a little girl was sitting there with her daddy and said, "Daddy, I'm going to go to college to study philosophy." And daddy looks at her and says, "Gee, honey, I'm really happy for that. They just built that big philosophy factory in Wisconsin."
What I'm saying is, how do you know if you don't – you guys are assuming when you're coming out of Appalachia, when you're coming out of inner city, when you're coming out of a trailer park, you assume you've got people around you that know something about what's going on in the world outside of they're going down to the BP and Walmart,
Tracy,
to work.
I guarantee you.
But, Tracy, in 1994, I was coming out of high school. I went in the guidance counselor's office, sat down, got the Occupational Outlook Handbook, looked at the highest-paying jobs, saw what they were, and that's what I said I was going to major in. And I had a low GPA coming out. I wasn't. They told me not to go to college. They told me to go to the military. But I was taking calculus and trig. That's what she didn't look at. I was taking hard courses. So
okay.
It depends on what your mindset is. If you go in there with the right mindset, one person looks at it as something is insurmountable. The other person looks at it, I can do it. I just got to find a way. And everything you just said and you've been on this phone saying depends on how you look at it. Student loan debt is not insurmountable. You just got to know how to look at it.
My grandfather.
You can't think you're gonna work a 9-to-5 and pay it off.
Can I say this? It's how you look at it, but it's also in what environment you are in,
Tracy.
And what I'm saying is, we have a lot of people right now who are coming out of, and I'm talking about, and I said first generation college goers. Did I not say that?
But Tracy, my grandfather came off of a farm in Wisconsin, and I'm not sure if he graduated high school or not. But when I graduated high school, if I'd have walked into him and said, "I'm going to college to take philosophy," he'd have looked at me square in the eye and said, "What, are you stupid?
Can I ask
you a question?
You ain't
going to make no money
doing
that."
Can I ask you a question? How many people really know their grandfather?
I mean, you got to, in my family structure,
everybody knows their grandfather.
Okay, let's go back. How
and
many
they
people,
listen to grandfather.
How many know their grandfather? How many go to their grandmother? How many have grandparents? How many have parents? How many know their daddy? How many have that
Ain't
sister?
Nobody tell me that, though, Tracy. I did it. What's my excuse?
Well, here's the thing, you're the
exception rather than the rule.
What everybody's not saying here is this, is that, first of all, there's a lot of people that you wouldn't think know that really know. And the thing is you may fall into some of the government, you know, tie-up, which is very real and very much there. However, I think that a good portion of the people, I'd say about 40-45% of the people, are those that are in the mind boggle that you're saying, that they're in that debt, 40-45%. But I think that there's a good majority of people, slight majority, that know better than even if they take part.
Okay. So now you've got the slight. If you've got 45%, 45% of all of your population coming out every year who are becoming more and more undereducated and more less critical thinking. Because remember, we're not teaching our young people to critically think as they even matriculate through their elementary season, let alone going into college. We tell you to regurgitate what we know. So while you're in college, they're not teaching you how to think outside the box. They're trying to teach you how to think in the box. Inside of a liberal media.
So you're wanting a society that caters to the lowest common denominator.
And so what I'm saying, have you seen your televisions lately?
I don't watch that crap.
Have you seen what's on there now? Hold on, Philadelphia. Have you seen what's on there now? The lowest common denominator?
I don't allow that garbage in my house. Never have.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Okay. So for
but
those
you know,
of you,
my children
weren't exposed to that garbage.
What did you say, Pianchi?
Getting back to what Stick said, when you asked the question, how many people know their grandfather, and he made it. He said it right. How many of them listen to their grandfather or grandmother?
How many of them know them? If you don't know your daddy, it's kind of hard. It's kind of difficult for you to know your granddaddy.
But my parents was my mama fixed hair. My dad was a painter. Like, I mean, they're not gonna know. Oh yeah, go into engineering. They make about $50 an hour. Or go into IT. They make $40-$50 an hour. They don't tell you that. They just say you're going to college. My sister was a nurse. My mom tried to make me be a nurse. Lord knows I didn't want to do that.
And
she
so
makes
again,
good money, but no.
Again, you had an infrastructure. You cannot take the infrastructure of the family away from our fabric of America and think that you're going to get common sense and structure.
You're not going to get common sense and structure primarily for one reason. That you have a news media that is not going to allow it.
Okay, so.
Okay, and that's the only reason, because people generally, in America, most people, especially your people that don't live inside of cities, they want freedom.
Again, we're not taught freedom. We're taught codependence.
Anymore.
So right now, you have a society. Go ahead, hold on, Philadelphia. You have a society who doesn't want you to be free. Go ahead, Philadelphia. You've got to wait until I call you up.
You have to know what the growth industries are before you go into an undergraduate program. It's probably better today if you go to an ITT or some type of technical college than actually going to a four-year college. The person will probably do better in terms of their career, because even if you're somebody who's artistic, you still have to know about different types of computers, because most of the time, if you're dealing with something like some type of graphic design, practically all of that work is done on some type of computer. So you still have to know about computers and other types of things, even if you go into some type of career where it involves you with the arts or drawing or design or something of that nature. So,
but you got to have the infrastructure around you.
So basically, even if a person is 17 or 18 years old, you have to know at that time the things that are your strengths and what you're good at, so that you know what type of program to go to.
WSO.
You know, business
ground you out, didn't they?
Business Insider had a whole article of 40 highest paying jobs you can get without a bachelor's degree. Many of them with just a I'm talking about jobs that pay upwards to $100,000 with just a high school education.
Hey, Bianchi, do you know what the hottest job there is now on the market?
What's that?
You can get a job right coming straight out of school.
Pharmaceutical sales.
A little bit of effort on your part, huh?
Pharmaceutical sales, they make bank.
No, but see, with pharmaceutical sales, most of those guys are requiring you to have a bachelor's degree. But they come out and within two or three years, they're making in between $80,000 to $100,000 easily. But if you have got a certified license to weld as a welder, you can get on a bus leaving South Carolina, and in 2 days you can be working. Those guys are out in North Dakota. It'll take some effort. But those guys,
I'm in South Carolina. You in the South, too.
Uh-huh.
There are so many community colleges just in Montgomery. I know two of them. You can go learn all types of skills. And 100 years ago,
man,
this wasn't even a debate because people knew what they knew. Whereas now, college has kind of ruined a lot of these liberal arts degrees. Ain't going to get you nowhere. I'm just going to be straight up.
Now, unless
you
want to
be in the
career,
Hall of Renaissance or something, you Miles Davis,
yeah,
and want to go to Juilliard, yeah, maybe. But
unless you already got an established career and a degree that's going to, you know, you're getting your degree to enhance that career, you're going to have a tough time, you know. But
you got all these kids,
somebody
want to go into music and make beats, and they want to. I'm sitting like, man, you can't get no 9 to 5 to making beats. You can do that on the side.
Associate degrees is a good thing to have too. That takes you in specific fields. Like
I got one in junior college when I had an associate's degree, and when I was in college, my girlfriend thought she was pregnant one time. I was like, I ain't worried about it. I already got an associate degree. I'm ready to. I'll go into the workforce. And this back during the .com bubble, so I was like, I go out there. You had people getting $40, $50 an hour fresh out of college.
Mm-hmm. But that
well,
website,
everything is going to be focused around things involving like if you're dealing with computers, even if you're in graphic design or architecture, you still have to know about the technology of the machinery and the computers and things of that nature. So no matter what you do, it's going to involve some type of technology. That's why it's better today probably to go to an ITT than it is to go to a 4-year college, because those type of technical schools are going to gear you to some
hands
type
on
of industries.
Yeah.
Right.
I actually got
right.
I got a business and information systems degree in Philadelphia, and you're right, man. I knew C++, which is outdated. I mean, I knew some Java, but you want to get a job, you want to know how to talk to a database, SQL, learn all these different operating systems, learn how to do all that stuff. You need to go somewhere that concentrates like a DeVry, ITT
yeah.
Tech.
But if you Business Insider put those 40 jobs up and they go from anywhere from a high school diploma to an associate degree, pay pretty decent money. The lowest one is about $57,000. The highest ones get up around $100,000.
Honestly, if you just go and get your education out of any school in this country, any basic public school, and you get out, you got a decent GPA, you go to the community college, which basically will take anybody, and you apply yourself, you'll be okay, man. You just got to apply yourself.
You definitely will. I went and got my associate's for electrical engineering technology. I'm sorry, electrical engineering. And, hey, I'm doing all right.
See, I think with a lot of these Ivy League schools, they try to set up themselves where they're like the private type of fraternity where, you know, the degree itself allows you to get into certain types of social circles that you wouldn't be able to get into if you didn't have that degree from Harvard or Yale.
Hey, I tell you what, I didn't go to college straight off the bat, but within 6 months of me being out of high school, I was gainfully employed, and wasn't worried too much about an occupation for a while anyway, at least for 6 years.
So, Philly, to speak with what you just said, these guys from Harvard and Yale, they run the country, and they're really a bunch of screw-ups. They're not – they are good test takers. They're not too bright.
They're not that smart. Listen, if anybody has ever been in the military will understand this. You know, sergeants run, NCOs run the military. Officers are just there to screw it up.
That's the thing with a lot of people from these Fortune 500 companies. I know a friend of mine, he's at Harvard, and he was just telling me about all the different people, and it's the connections. Then when you get out, but they screw up. They're the ones that gave us derivatives. These are the people that gave us derivatives, Harvard, Yale. Look at them. Look at what they did.
Yeah, you wonder why there's so many GM recalls. But they did work, though.
Derivatives
they
did
people made
do
their
they
payments,
intended
but,
to.
But that takes wisdom of the market to understand that everybody's not going to make their payments every time. So they took it on paper it worked. That's hard. That's a test taker. That's how test takers think.
That's why they had Fannie Mae and Sally Mae there standing alongside.
If he makes this payment, we'll be okay.
Yeah, you got to realize, too, that, as I said before, everybody in the country cannot be successful. Somebody has to be below the 50%. And some have to be, the rest got to be above. If not, it won't work.
A lot of people that are below that 50% don't even try. To them, they'll never write a business plan. They'll never go and sit in the bank and try to do some things and make it. All they're thinking is, I'm just going to aim through life, get a job, get a car, get a house. That's how a lot of people think. So
right.
You don't have to try hard. All you got to do is show up half the time, and you beat 60% of people already because they're not even going to show up.
You're absolutely right. But if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't. The overall team wouldn't work.
I can't argue. You need people to know. You do. You need cows.
Vice or ask for a name. She smiled and looked at me. I was surprised to see that a woman like that was real into me.
She said she didn't have to mess. Played the kids the very
she
best she
loved
had.
Me.
She told me she was all alone. Said I don't, she didn't have no
one. Never would have thought she was living like that. Her words seemed so sincere. When I held her near, she would tell me how she feels.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and it's open mic today. I brought up some about student loans because I was just taken back when I heard about the debt, the interest, and how. And when I was talking about, enslavement and bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I brought up in student loans, because when I look at people that are trying to climb out of the system and how the system puts mud on the heel as you try to climb.
Put grease on the rails is what it does.
Grease on the rails, mud on the wheels. I mean, and then they give you saran wrap shoes. I agree with Alabama. It's all in how you think about it, it's your mindset. But when you are conditioned, and when I look at what people watch, when I go inside of people's homes, and I am talking with them, and I'm doing some business with them, and they turn the television on, and I watch what their young people are watching. And so Sticks and Jeff says, "Well, I don't watch that mess. We don't watch that mess in my home." Well, the majority, somebody's watching it, and the majority of people that are watching it. Are the majority of the people that we're trying to make sure that they stay like Julia, and I need for Julia to die, because people need to become independent. And they Covina man said earlier today, well, he's not enslaved. Black people are enslaved, but they're not like this. And I'm like, they are, because the conditioning of their political mindset and what they're doing is not beneficial, and it's not helping them get out of the situation that they're in. So we keep on this treadmill and on this, and we're not going anywhere.
But I have been saying this on this program since the day I started. Why do we allow children to take out loans? A child that wouldn't qualify for a $5,000 car note. Why do we allow them to take notes with no collateral to take to get degrees that won't pay them back. Why not do the student loan thing in reverse? You save enough money to pay for the first semester, and we'll help you more the further you get through your
because
thing.
Because the system is designed to keep you in the system. You keep on saying, why do we allow this? And I keep on telling you, no one wants you to be free. The system never wants you to let go. And if I teach you how to save, if I teach you how to make good decisions, if I teach you how to think, if I make you independent, then I can't control you when you're an adult.
Something like 40% of college freshmen don't return for their second semester.
Can I say this
and
again?
And they borrowed 100% of the money for the first semester.
Can I say this?
Taken a kid who can't make any money and $7,000 in debt.
Can I say this again? The system does not want you to be free from the system.
But we're the system.
No, you're not the system. What parents tell their child to do that? We don't have parents. Parents are non-issues now. You're missing it. There are no parents. You're breeders.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is breed. You breed for the system of enslavement. You are not a parent because you cannot govern your home, and we don't want you to. That's why we have all this crazy stuff going on in America.
Which pill are you supposed to take, Jeff, the red one or the blue one? Because I want off this crazy trend.
I hear you. You might want off of it, but you have to understand this system, what's going on right now. And the loose, it's a crazy.
It's insane.
Absolutely. But you don't know that it's insane because you have bought into it. You drank the Kool-Aid. And nobody wants to tell you that right now you're in a Jim Jones syndrome and don't know it.
All part of the Matrix.
Absolutely.
But at this point, they don't want to be breeders either.
Hold on, Philadelphia. Didn't I tell you? I will call everybody in.
The whole thing is there's no doubt about it. But those that are not thinking like this and wanting to be like that have to go and do differently. And the reason why I say is when they start doing differently, somebody's going to look at you. Now, you know, they've almost made it illegal for you to be off of the grid.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I can't, if I wanted to have two generators and run my whole house and not buy any natural gas or electricity from Ohio Edison or anything like that, I can't do it really. They're gonna try to stop me from doing it. But the thing is they have to tell me why.
Again, you're asking the question. Why is this? And what I'm saying
is... No, they're going to have to answer the question.
No, but you're asking the question.
Uh-huh.
The problem is most of us are not asking the question why. I've got a girlfriend who's remodeling her house. She's remodeling her deck.
Uh-huh.
And she's gone downtown to try to get permits and to try her to get things happening, and they're trying to stop her from remodeling her deck and trying to get her to pay more money for the deck in permits and fees. Now, she's not making a bigger footprint.
Where is this at?
She's not making bigger footprints. She's just remodeling, revamping the deck and turning it into a better play space. And what they're saying is they're going to charge her more for this. And she's like,
hey, Tracy.
I'm not changing.
And who's the zoning proponent in this,
again,
in this room?
Again.
Who's the proponent for zoning?
I'm just saying.
There you go. But you got just what you want.
Because I got people next door to me who have rubbish in their backyard that they need to get out.
Rubbish is a
different but the
thing.
Other lady's increasing the value of her house, so her taxes got to go up.
And here, guess what? I'm getting ready to try to find probably about 10 friends because I'm going to take my wooden deck out and I'm going to put a paver deck in. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be in trouble, but I ain't getting permit to first.
And again.
Sorry,
again.
I didn't mean to tell you guys that, but
you
know, I ain't getting no permit from you.
I'm just saying, overall. Hold on, because I got to let John in Philadelphia. I made him shut down. Now we're going to do this one at a time. Go ahead, Philadelphia.
You had said that they're trying to breed people, but we're at the point now where they're trying to engage in population control in a lot of these cities where they don't want the poor to start to accumulate too much. That's the reason why you have these programs in place like Planned Parenthood and other types of programs, because when you have a lot of poor that's located in some type of city, they don't pay
their fair share, like in terms of the tax structure. And that's one of the reasons why the public school system are falling apart, because the poor cannot pay actually into the system to keep the schools going.
That's not necessarily true.
Again, yeah, hold on, South Carolina. I'm going to pull you right back and pull you in just a second. Again, I'm not talking, I've pushed past four because right now the poor are already under control. We got you under, we expand Medicaid, we'll put you on the system, and your name is called Julia 12345. So you're already there. As long as you're a part of Head Start, I start indoctrinating your children. You're on food stamps. I keep you in poverty, and I keep you controlled in a controlled environment. That's why you're called projects.
Right.
Yeah,
public housing.
Keep them in a controlled environment, but also at the same time, they don't pay.
John, I told you, don't jump in. We're doing this one at a time. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Well, Tracy, I mean, I understand what Philadelphia is saying about, you know, budgets and tax base and everything else. But I've said this, I've asked this before. How much does it really cost to teach a kid how to read?
It takes time. It takes money. But the money that it takes is all administrative costs, because if you look at the budget of the school, you spend more on brick and mortar and administrative than you do on educating the child. That's why in the city of Youngstown, you can spend $17,000 on a child per year, and they still come out and can't read.
The school's brand new, though.
I mean, because I learned my ABCs and all that. My sisters helped teach me that. My mom reinforced that. You know, I learned it at school. So, I mean,
you got to have parents. Remember, I keep on telling you, we're not parents. We're breeders. We breed babies, and then we give them over to the government to raise.
But if you want to keep your child, the government comes and takes your child from you.
That's correct. Because
if you want to homeschool, if you want to spit yourself out of the system, they come and get you and take you away.
314, your mic is on. Okay.
Next.
Hey, Tracy.
Alabama. Yes.
Why is it that if I get pulled over by the police and I have about $40,000 cash on me, why do they have the right to seize it?
Because you're not supposed to have that kind of money on you.
And that cuts across all racial lines.
Absolutely. You're not supposed to have that kind of cash. But then when you go to the bank and deposit anything over $9,999, they actually report it to the IRS.
I had a friend turn in some rents the other day.
Why are you not supposed to have that kind of money on you? Why are you not supposed to have that kind of money?
Again, you're not supposed to ask those kind of questions. I keep on telling you guys, that is the system.
Because
you're not supposed to have anything.
Because if you're dealing outside of the system and you're dealing in cash, they're afraid of you. And you must
That's
be doing something
cash.
Illegal.
That's my
course.
Money. I don't have to tell
Doesn't
you
matter.
What I'm doing with it.
I mean, that,
I'm not doing
there was
anything
a story,
illegal with it.
And it's been going on for years. 60 Minutes did a story 20 years ago about a landscaper that every year he flew, I think, from Atlanta to Texas with cash, bought his stock, rented a truck, and drove back. One time he went to go, they seized it. You know about that story,
yeah,
Bianchi?
Yeah, I did, too. I watched that on CNN.
They tried to do me like that, too, in U.S. Customs. But I had Ghana money on me, which was denominated in $10,000 notes in Ghana's currency, and they want to try to seize that too in U.S. Customs, going out of
again
New York.
And we're just talking about just driving down the street down the Oklahoma Highway, Route 66. They don't want you to have anything that they're not controllable, and then you tell me that we're not enslaved.
Well, one of the reasons why they don't want you to carry cash like that in an airport because they're trying to stop people who may be involved in the trafficking of narcotics across
that's the excuse
like
they use.
Of the international
business?
Borders.
But Philadelphia, whose business is it?
Sometimes when you're dealing with traffickers, they carry a lot of cash with them.
Maybe I don't believe in banks.
So if somebody is trafficking narcotics across international borders, they're going to have over $10,000 in cash.
Again, listen, Philadelphia, this is the issue. You can be going down Route 66, Route 80. You can be Interstate 80 going from one place to the other. And if you get pulled over and they find you have in the trunk of your car and or your back seat or whatever a lump of cash, in excess of a certain amount, they will seize your money and arrest you if they can.
And it's not, and we're only one generation into that, because my grandparents, when they would travel, carried for that time large amounts of cash, because that's what you did.
They don't want you carrying cash.
But
the reason why they target
people who carry cash like that, because
go ahead, Eric. I told John about jumping in, and we're not going to have it. Go ahead, Eric.
I should have the right to tell that cop, I'm going to spend that money on swampland in Louisiana, and he should say, have a nice day, sir.
And again, you ought to, if you go to the bank and ask the bank, what number do they report a deposit? Do you know that you can't go to a car dealership and pay cash for a car?
Yes, you can.
You know what,
yes,
Tracy?
Yes, you can.
I booked the rap artist, and I had to bring his half of his money in cash.
Hold on.
In $100 bills. And they took it. They would have took it if the cops would have stopped me.
Cops will take your money. I know of a local community where two black cops took $900 off of an allegedly drug dealer. Now they facing 20 years.
That's if you get caught.
If you get caught. Because I'm going to tell you.
They've been taking cash for stops for a long time.
Who's got the money to fight them? That's the thing. They've got all the power and all the money. I mean, we allowed them to pass these stinking RICO laws that somehow my car's committing a felony.
Again, when I said about buying a car, if you go in there and try to buy a new car with cash, you will have a very, very difficult time.
Yeah.
Now, you might have gone to your regular used dealer, Philadelphia, hold on. You may go to your regular used dealer and may be able to pull that off. But you go into a large retailer, dealer, and go to buy a new car, you won't be able to do that like that. The reason why they stopped that because of they called it the drug laws, but all it does is it limits your freedom.
And that's what bothers me, because I know a lot of older people that have 50, 60, 75, 100,000 in cash in their house, because that's what you do.
And under the mattress, in a coffee can.
People I know got that kind of money that safe, but still, it's in the house.
You take some 25-year-old car dealer in a major lot, he'd have to go get his boss, because he wouldn't know what to do if you had cash to pay for it.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was in 1976, a friend of ours bought a John Deere tractor, and we went with him to pick it up. The wife went down in the basement. She come up with a mason jar, $12,000 in $100 bills.
Again, they don't want you to have cash. Cash is not trackable. We've got to be able to track you. And what I'm saying is, when I talk about the freedom. Hold on, Eric. When I talk about the freedoms of America, and when I talk about the
serial numbers on the money, they can track
not
the
same,
serial numbers.
No. You can't track through the serial numbers on the money unless you have it sequential order and you bought it. You went to the bank to buy your money. But if you just saved your money in a sock and you just collected it over the years, put it in your house, and you pull that kind of money out, or if you're traveling with it, you're going to have a hard time. As a matter of fact, you go try to close.
But anytime money is stolen from
Philadelphia.
The bank. And what I'm saying is,
Do you not speak English? I'm really, really trying to not make sure that we don't talk on top of the people. There are new rules here. I promise you, I will let you in. I promise that. But we're going to do this one at a time, whether people like it or not. And if you don't like it, then you just can't call in, because I will not let you in. But you just can't jump in, because people are having problems hearing. And I've got a business to run here, and we're going to run it as such, and if you don't like it, too bad.
Somebody go ahead.
No, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy.
God dang, she's Silence of the Lambs, ain't it?
Yeah, hello.
You have to be
careful, man. She'll shut you off quick.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
the only thing I want to say is that when people rob money from the bank, the FBI is able to trace the money. If they go and they use it and they purchase something with it, the FBI has the serial numbers on all of the bills, so if the bill shows up and it was and somebody bought something at the 7-Eleven after they just robbed the bank, they can trace that. The FBI is able to trace those bills back to the 7-Eleven.
I guess what she's saying, though, Philly,
is that
we get the point, Philly. What I'm saying is when someone does something illegal, nobody really has a problem with it. It's when the government abuses their authority. Because if I piss you off and you're a politician, you can send the IRS after me or you can send someone after me. And because I have personal bills or I don't like that type of – because if it's going to be our legal tender to be cashed, then you should be able to have it in any amount you want. You can walk around with $2 million if you want,
right.
I think.
And that's good.
But the main reason why they don't do it, the main reason why they don't do that, because people who are drug dealers, most of the time, those people only operate in cash. So, like, if you
they still
going to
do it, though. They're still going to do
lot
it.
Of cash.
Wait a minute. Philly.
We get the point, Philly.
What I'm saying is that if you got a fraction of 1% that sells drugs, and you're going to go and screw over the other 99.whatever% that don't by having this, well, what if – we understand. That's what I was saying. We understand why they do it. That doesn't make it right. Just because one or two guys sell drugs, they can't just come take my money, and I'm trying to conduct business to do a concert or – because a lot of these rap acts want their second half – of the deposit in cash, $100 deal.
Like I said, I could be on my way to buy an elephant. That ain't none of the government's business.
Exactly. Then what makes it so bad, they'll take it and spend it. It ain't like they're going to take it. And if you actually have to get a lawyer, then they'll just write you out a check if you happen to get a lawyer to fight them. But most of the time, they just take your money and keep it and spend it. They take $200,000 and keep it. I remember one time they stopped me and took my money when I had $7. They wrote me a check because they took it and deposited it. When they put me to jail, I had a suspended license, got stopped in Georgia. They took $7 and wrote me a check because I had to actually go back to get it. I said, I got to go back up here to get my money. I don't care if it's 50 cents, I want it. They wrote me a check. They didn't give me the actual money. They didn't put it in a plastic bag. They put the money in the bank.
And them car dealers, see them car lots, they have a mindset when you walk in the showroom, they're going to make you take out a loan. So when you walk in there with cash, they have a meltdown.
Yeah. Because they're, but this is all because of the war on drugs. You know, they're trying to prevent these people from doing all types of trafficking and all types of selling because right now in this region in the Northeast, They have like all kind of problems, like in terms of heroin. They have a lot of people who are dying from overdoses of heroin. So now it's a debate that the governor of New Jersey is trying to have whether they should keep special types of medication when they come across somebody who's overdosed on heroin. Because they're at a point now.
But the government's selling the heroin, though, Philly. They're the ones that's selling it. That's what Afghanistan, that's where that comes from. That's the government's drug that's killing people.
Well,
so it's kind of funny that they want to take our money
also,
when they're the ones selling the drugs.
But it's also, you got Mexicans bringing in a very...
The government allows those cartels. They're
in
business with the government.
And people are
those Mexican drug lords are in business with the government too.
John,
all of this,
ain't nobody worried about heroin addicts that kill themselves. There's no better way to get rid of a problem than let the problem get rid of itself.
Mm-hmm. That's why you can't feed the homeless. The only reason I can think of why they don't want you to feed the homeless. It's because they want them to starve to death.
Yeah. because
do you know that this synthetic heroin and you know, Ritalin and all the medications that they give those kids for like ADHD and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, majority of those are painkillers. You have a lot of people that are addicted to all types of painkillers. They move from the painkillers back on the heroin because it gives them the same high. So, like, if somebody's on some type of oxycodone, they're able to snort that and shoot that the same way they would heroin, and it gives them that same feeling.
Well, also, if you ever drink or smell that Four Loko, I don't care what no one says, it's crack in there. It's like a liquid crack. Like, you know what crack smells like? You can smell it in that Four Loko.
You got more people abusing a prescription drug now than you do illegal narcotics.
It's a Michael Jackson week. Hey, it's not happy. It's not happy.
Much phone bay.
You know? Do you know who Michael Jackson is?
Yeah, I know who Michael Jackson is.
Just checking.
I know who he was.
Well, no, he's dancing again.
He's still talking.
And he never did talk.
He's talking.
Alan Thick apologized to his wife last night.
Oh, he's been apologizing. He's been apologizing for a while, you know.
That was so pitiful.
Listen, let's take a lesson from Alan, from Robin Thick.
Yeah, Robin Thick. Let's do
lessons from Robin Thicke. No matter how much success you acquire, don't cheat on your wife. Let her find out, and then think you're just going to walk back in her life and say you're sorry, because he's been saying he's sorry for a very, very long time now, and his wife is still ignoring him. So if you love your wife, it was during the wintertime.
6 months.
So listen, if you want to keep your happy wife, keep your winky at home.
Happy wife, happy life.
Because if you love your wife and you do stupid stuff, you might end up with no wife at all. That was a song on Hee Haw.
Gloom, despair,
excessive misery. You know the question I always ask you: Are you married? Or are you happy?
You better answer that right, because it could get
no.
You know what you say?
What?
You say yes.
My grandfather always said it doesn't seem like a day over 100 years.
That's right. That's right.
And he'd look at my grandma and he'd say, Mom, take that however you want to.
Listen here. But don't say that early in your marriage. Wait until you get that 50-year mark in. And there's some people out there that are celebrating 50 years. I want to say to Mrs. Elise Rhodes, I think they're celebrating 55 years of marriage. Wow. Congratulations. We love
them. And who is the Mr.?
Mr. Rhodes.
Okay.
You all don't understand. I was raised in a home that everybody had only, you know, either Mr. somebody or Mrs. somebody, or by their first name or their last name, but there always had to be a handle on their name. So if I called you Mrs. Rhodes or Miss Elise, you know, that was your name. So when people ask me what's their last name, I'm like, I don't know. I called her Miss Elise. Or what's his last name? I don't know. So since I knew he was Rhodes and she was Miss Elise, then I could put the two names together. But don't ask me his first name, and don't ask me. I know her last name because I know his. But that's the only reason why.
My brother-in-law's parents have been married 65 years.
Woo! Congratulations. That's some time.
Yep.
Hey, listen, y'all tell John again, those of you who are out there, I have no choice. My business is my primary goal, and if I want to stay on here, I've got to do things differently, and we cannot talk on top of each other. So I'm going to yell at everybody until we get it right. Yeah, Pianchi, what's going on? Hi, Amenti.
Yeah, he understands. But, you know, earlier we was talking about student debt. I just looked that up. Student debt is $1.2 trillion. Check this out. U.S. federal spending is $3.5 trillion. Student debt is about a third of the total spending of the nation. That is totally ridiculous. Unfunded liabilities, which includes Social Security, prescription drugs, and Medicare liability, is $129.1 trillion.
So we have turned our education into a money-making machine.
A lot of these guys as presidents of these colleges make over $1 million a year. A lot of these colleges is going up faster than health care. Nobody's saying anything. It's overrated. It's overpriced. And if it wasn't for basketball, I probably would have went to community college.
Again. And then you had an opportunity, and you had parents, and you had support system. We are looking at a system that is losing all of its support. And we're wondering why we're not making it. We're not succeeding. And I don't think we quite understand this. And we don't teach people how to make good choices.
You want to make me a bet?
Let me also say this before I take six bets. We're not making good choices, and we are now taking our recreational drug and making it legal. I saw somebody mention pot inside the room. And what happens now when I am higher than a kite while I'm in college because it's legal? And I'm making bad choices. I really don't know what I've learned, because the day you start smoking weed is the day you stop learning and really attain. And when I say learning, Jeff, you stop attaining. It's very, very different.
No, that's not true, though.
What's not true?
What you just said is not true, and this is why people on the other side have a very good argument against you. That once you start smoking weed or smoking boo, that you stop attaining. That's not true.
What do you start doing?
All the way through lab school and stuff like that, myself and my roommates, my friends, we smoke boo.
Okay.
Every day.
Absolutely.
In the service. Okay. Not supposed to be, but we attain quite well. And not only that, we got jobs in the private sector as well, doing what we did and did quite well while we were in service.
Let me finish this up again.
Okay,
let me rephrase this, since you didn't like how I phrased it.
Yeah.
You don't. When you start smoking weed, you stop attaining. Now you can actually take on some information, but the actuality of your critical thinking and or your judgment is blurred while you're high. Depending on how much weed you do smoke and how high you stay for as long as you do stay, you will find out that you are gaining some information, but you are really not getting it to where it is really dealing with your core. It's really not. Now some people may be able to do that and hang out. But a lot of people are really getting into this, and they will be able to. You can regurgitate that which you learn. But as far as being able to hold on to it and being able to thrive, because while you're high, you're the smartest person in the world, and when you come down, you found that you forgot what you did when you was high. And the weed that they're smoking today is not the same weed as it was in 1977, 78, 83, 84, 85, and 86. This ganja has been dipped inside of all kinds of chemicals. You get the blue smoke, the red smoke, the green smoke. You can smoke a smoke. They're doing all kinds of things to make this kind of thing higher and better than ever before and potent, that you stay up longer.
Agronomists at work.
Absolutely. And they are doing a very, very good job of it.
Well, once again, like I say.
Let's get back to my bet, because
yes, go to your
bet. I can just about bet you.
What?
Hillary Clinton's children. Barack Obama's children, Nancy Pelosi's children, Harry Reid's children. Name any Republican elitist you want to. Their children are not being taught to make bad decisions.
Oh, absolutely not. That's why
they want to create a system where your children are taught to make bad decisions,
mm-hmm.
so they can control you.
But that's because their children are going to be the leaders. You have to have a ruling class, don't you?
No.
Yes, you do.
We're not supposed to have one here.
Who said?
The Constitution of the United States.
Who's reading that? You keep on bringing that doggone black comp. That is your president told you it was an old, antiquated contract.
It's a list of negative. It's a list of negative rights.
That's what I'm saying. So why would you bring that up?
Because
it's old.
Because when
the Supreme Court justice that said it was an out of date.
Stevens, I think, but I'm not sure. I can't answer that. Stevens was the one that wanted to add
Wasn't the woman who's the lady, the old lady on there? Ginter?
Ginsburg.
She's the one who said it was old-fashioned piece of paper.
Stevens wanted to do something notorious to it, and Bush said it's just a piece of paper.
Stevens wants to add seven words to the Second Amendment so that only the military can have guns.
What's up with that?
Oh, please. You're talking about starting an instant insurrection?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with
you want an instant insurrection in America? I'm very serious, because that's one of those rights that is worth fighting and dying for in America, because it's the only thing that stops our government from just running roughshod over us. Because you see,
Jeff, you think you can take on the United States military?
Yes, I think I can take on the United States military. But here's the thing: if I don't take on the United States military, I will be inundated by them one way or another.
Hi, Minty. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good.
How's things in New York?
What did you say?
How are things in New York?
The weather's getting better. You know, I'm over here by the beach, so, you know, whenever it gets over, like, 70 degrees, it's real beautiful out here and breezy.
Where
dang,
at?
Man.
You said over by
New
the
York.
Beach.
That's what she said.
Rye Beach?
I'm by Rockaway Beach area. That's where I'm at.
Is that Rye Beach?
Rockaway.
Rockaway.
Is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
So is it coming back from Sandy Hook? Hurricane Sandy?
It's coming back, but unfortunately my daughter's school, they lost a lot of finances over Sandy. So they're trying to build that back up, and students as well. So, and I think they built a new charter school out here too. So everybody's pulling back up. There's new businesses and everything out here, but it seems like the schools are kind of going through it the most out here.
What school?
Because you don't have any tax base. You have all the property.
Oh, and a lot of people left.
Yeah, a lot of students left. And if any more students leave by next year, they're saying that the money that they usually would get will go down. They won't have it anymore. So, getting real serious.
Wow. I just hope we wake up and smell the coffee and understand that we have a real situation going on here, and Americans are at the butt of the joke. I mean, seriously,
I agree.
I mean,
you shouldn't build your house on the beach line anyway.
Well, you can build a house on the beach line if you want your house to go on the beach.
Because the seas will rise.
Well,
and Al Gore built his 30,000 square foot house on the beach.
I don't understand why people have not talked about climate change and understand that the climate's been changing forever and it's always going to change, and we're no warmer or cooler. It's just progressing as it always has.
Well, there's another example of federal government rewarding bad behavior. Why do we have federal flood insurance? Why don't we make those people that live in those flood-prone areas pay the cost of insurance that it would cost to insure them in the private sector, because they wouldn't build houses there if they had to pay the real cost of the insurance?
And they build.
They'd only do it once.
And they build houses in Ohio.
That's right. Where we don't have as many tornadoes and we don't have a whole lot of flooding. I mean,
hold up, whoa, you said we don't have flooding. Then why am I always hearing flood warnings?
Well, we got a lot of warnings.
Especially out here. The people who get the floods the most is people on, like, in the Howard Beach area that have the houses, like, right there where the water's right there.
Right.
And they're the
beautiful
ones that complain the most, but they don't make sense because they're right there by the water. And their houses are very low. They have garage. You should see it. And they're the ones that complain. They were actually the ones complaining out of everybody when Sandy had happened. It was
You live there, Amenti. If those people had to pay the real cost of what it would cost to flood insure those properties and it wasn't backed up by the federal government, would they live there?
I don't know.
Don't they know?
Yes, they would live there.
Hold on. Go ahead, Pianki.
Don't Don't they know that water runs downhill? They must have been smoking that pot.
See what I'm trying to tell you? I'm telling you, they go to school and forget. Go ahead, Eric.
I'm Alabama, not Eric. And
I'm sorry,
they
Alabama.
There because you got countries like the Dominican Republic, the Grand Cayman Islands. They would have a different architecture, but they would build, a lot of these people build normal houses that you'd build in Ohio right on the water. And I don't think that's intelligent.
Well, now when I was in Florida, they have you can see the should have known.
I love that one.
You can see the hurricane glass. Mm-hmm. You don't hear. I mean, it's amazing how they built that glass now.
My father-in-law framed houses on Kiowa and Seabrook Islands around Charleston, and they put those houses on pilasters, and the basement was in the bottom, but the entire house was 8 feet off the ground.
Yeah, but I think New Yorkers think they're invincible when it comes to weather and comfortable. And Sandy was a wake-up call for New Yorkers. I don't think New Yorkers ever believed that this place could flood, or I really don't, because people were just comfortable.
Well, I'm telling you.
Complaining about dumbness when the event had happened. You know, it boggles me.
I don't think people think. I mean, we built the Chevy Center here. Didn't it flood there at one time? I saw pictures when they were both going underneath that bridge.
You talk about down
downtown,
yeah,
downtown.
On a river. On
but they have that well under control now. I mean, you know,
is it well under control?
Yes,
or it can never flood again.
That's what Berlin's for.
Yeah.
Berlin Lake.
Yeah, Berlin Lake is it keeps you from flooding because they can control the flow of water down to the river. Now, it doesn't work in Warren so well because of where Warren's water comes in at. It goes up and over those banks. But here, I mean, it's not going to...
It's not
going to
flood here?
No.
Ever?
No.
Then why do we keep on getting flood warnings?
You get flood warnings
from
there.
I mean, out there by me, do you know where the headwaters of the Mahoning River are?
The headwater?
Yeah.
I know where the Mahoning River is, but I don't know who the headwater is. I have no idea what
the
headwater is.
The headwater of the Mahoning River is over there at Westville Lake.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is right outside of Alliance.
Oh.
But, yeah, all of that bottom land around there, around Westville Lake and around that area, floods constantly because they keep Berlin closed up and back the water up to keep Youngstown from flooding.
So Youngstown's still important, huh?
You know, they flooded Sandy or East Sparta, Ohio. They'd flood it every year when I was a kid because Dover Dam held the water back to keep Dover and Philly from flooding.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole entire Muskingum watershed is all designed to keep flooding from downriver, from down around Cincinnati and down in
that.
Yeah. We built hundreds of lakes. Salt Fork Lake, Atwood Lake, all of those lakes were built as flood control lakes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How about McKelvey Lake?
No, McKelvey Lake is just a little, you know, lake out.
It's just a little pond.
I think a little man-made lake out there to have something nice to do and boat.
We don't ain't no boats on the lake. They never let boats.
Not now because the Water Service bought the rights to it, and they get the water from McKelvey Lake for what's that other Agua, Ohio?
Agua, Ohio. Wait a minute. What a good question. So you can't boat where drinking water is?
Depends.
No, wait a minute.
Mogador Lake is the...
That's right.
Mogador Lake is the reservoir for the city of Akron. You can fish and boat on that, but I think you're limited to electric motors.
Hold on, wait a minute. Why can't I boat on water? You got dead bodies in the water. If you got dead bodies in the water, you might as well have boats in the water.
It would be easy for you to go out on that lake in any way and put in a pound of arsenic or a pound of, not just arsenic, something else that would kill everybody to drink it.
Well, heck, you can drive across and jump over the lake.
Not too easy.
We get our water from the Mississippi.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't drink no water in St. Louis. I don't drink no. I don't go to Cleveland. Cleveland gets theirs out of Lake Erie.
I did hear a rumor that certain high profile Mahoning County officials have been found to be fishing on Meander Lake.
No.
Oh really?
No.
Yeah, what are they fishing for?
I heard there's some awesome fishing in me.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
No.
Those fish ought to be as big as people.
Yep.
Yeah.
All of us got a little Jimmy Hoffa in us.
I hope not me. I don't want to have no cement shoes. And check it out. They fish off the back of Meander, all along the road, the back way to Warren.
Yeah.
Down off of Turner and all of that.
Yeah.
Late at night.
No.
Out there
a lot of guys I know
hey.
Buy those cheap, $10 fishing rods and reels so you can throw them down and run.
Yeah.
In Alabama, they let the in the city of Montgomery, they actually have people that get stopped, and they would call some guy downtown, and they would just delete all their information out the database. I mean, and it's millions of dollars worth of tickets that they just – certain people just get tickets. They know the right person through the mayor's office, through the certain – we don't know who, but it came out a while ago that they've been doing this for 30, 40 years, people just getting their stuff taken off.
No, they would never fix tickets like that. Alabama? Why would you say that about the people?
Government of the connected, by the connected, and for the connected.
Absolutely
yeah.
not.
That's how traffic court works. Like, if you're a connected person, you can buy off the traffic court, Judge, easy.
Not in Youngstown.
But you have to be able to pay him a bribe or do a favor for him. But traffic court is definitely corrupted. And it depends on the county that you're in. Because if you're located out in the suburbs, you actually get to talk to the arresting officer, and you can influence the officer before you have the court hearing, meaning that you can talk to the officer and see if you can get the actual ticket like kind of thrown out before you even go to the hearing.
Well,
that's
I'm here to tell you
court
guys,
is in
I
the
am
suburbs.
Not connected. At all.
But, yeah.
I have
why is parking so crazy? Why is parking so crazy in Philadelphia?
Why is what so crazy? Why is
parking? Parking. What is it with people getting booze in their cars
Because the parking authority makes a lot of money by writing tickets. And the parking authority is a way for the city to generate revenue. So, you know, they use the ticket and the booting to actually get more money into the city. And it's all a racket. Because like I said, if you get a ticket out in the suburbs, you can talk to the arresting officer and have the ticket kind of thrown out before the hearing even is started. Whereas if you get a ticket and you're located inside the city, you have to go through the whole process. You know, you have to go to a hearing. If you're not satisfied with the hearing, you have to go to an appeal. And in the meantime, the car has probably been towed, or you probably have extra tickets added on to the first ticket that you had.
So you mean to tell me
people
make money off of this?
To generate money.
That is so corrupt. I mean,
you mean to tell me
to get together and just say, look, let's build some parking garages so we don't have to walk drive around with tow trucks all day towing people's cars. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Imagine, you guys are really telling me that the parking system is really corrupt in these cities?
Yes. But what I'm saying is the parking authority is put in place to be a type of entity where they're able to generate all types of revenue for the city. And they tell the people who are the meter maids they have to write a certain number of tickets each day. So what you have in the city is these officers that are responsible for writing tickets. They walk up and down the street and they monitor, if they're given like five blocks to work, they monitor like all of the meters on that block. They're constantly going back and forth to see if somebody has overspent the time that they're supposed to be parked. And as
soon
as the time runs out, they write a ticket.
Hold on, Philly. 440.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but you know what? You keep calling me 440.
we gotta, I gotta have a hook or something, you know, maybe like Uncle Cracker or something like that, you know.
No, I can't call you that. No, I gotta find you a, name.
Cracker's really not offensive. I don't think. I don't even think that's offensive.
Can I call him Rich?
I don't care. Uncle Cracker would be good. Bad Bill would be.
No, how about Uncle? No, we can call you Uncle Ritz or Salty.
Then they'll say he's exercising self hate.
Grandpa Ritz. Grandpa Ritz.
Oh.
I'm not gonna call you Cracker. Cracker can be offensive, but I never want to offend anyone, except for Pianchi.
Well, I'll think of something.
We gotta think of something.
All right. All right.
I'm
going to
call Eric Noyes
day.
From now on.
Yeah, I don't know. What he be doing?
I don't know what Eric does. Eric just got Noyes. Wait a minute. He just called him to say he won the name.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Eric might be the one of those over there cutting body parts up and interjecting in the show. He up there cutting somebody's foot off. Talking about the Constitution up there cutting somebody's foot off, putting it in the fridge. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the Second Amendment. Hold on. He said, hold on. When he said, hold on, he up there trying to, you know, somebody wrestling with him.
That's solid.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Eric, what you got to say about that one? What you know he's making self.
Hold on, let me put this knife down, and then I'll get right back to y'all.
Eric, let me tell you something, man. You might as well just start muting your mic and get you like one of those little hand saw, one of those little quick little saws on or something. It'll smooth right. Yeah, it'll go right through the human flesh.
Listen, don't be giving out helpful. Trying to cut up bodies on Tracy and friends. There's a reason why. What'd you say, Eric?
I usually work in the afternoon. So when it's nice out like this, I'm just in and out the house all morning long.
Well, yeah, we know you got a dog, and you got a cat. You got kids. You got body parts. You got a garage.
I got his head started across the street, so you can hear the buses warming up to drop off the kids in the morning, back it up, beef, and that's all that is.
That's all. So we can hear all of America in your phone. Okay.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes, sir.
Guess who give out scholarships under the name of Martin Luther King Jr. Scholarships
Who?
Award.
Who?
The American Correctional Association.
No, they don't.
That's something.
Yes, they do. Looking at it right here.
No, they don't. Well, you know, correction is big business.
It
says to provide financial assistance for undergraduate, graduate study to African Americans and other minorities interested in a career in the criminal justice field.
Well, listen. If you want a good job, go into criminal justice and corrections and see if you don't get a good job. You sit inside and watch people act crazy.
Why
all
would you major in criminal justice? Why? Unless you're gonna be a lawyer.
Because you want to be a lawyer.
No.
A lot of lawyers take criminal
jobs. I know people.
So there's a lot of criminals, and you'll never be out of a job.
It's undergrad. Yeah. That's one of the degrees that lawyers use as undergrad, is criminal
But
justice.
You know what? If you get out of school and you find out you don't want to be a lawyer, what do you do with that degree? There we go back to stupid.
Go be a cop. Go be a policeman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm at the end of my day. I'll see you guys on tomorrow.
I'm working from home. Yeah, you'll see me tomorrow.
But you know, somebody had made a comment in the chat room that if you wait till your children get in the high school and you're trying to determine what field of study, what field of a profession they're pursuing, I think you waited just maybe a little bit too late, but it's not late as it would if you wait till your 12th year.
Well, but one thing the parents got to do, they got to make sure children become more of an independent person by the time they reach 18 or 17 years old, so that the child is able to make
the types of decisions they need to make as they become an adult. So one of the main decisions you're going to make as an adult is what type of job you're going to have in the future. And that's why I was saying that if you really have to examine these colleges before you go to them, you have to know what the growth fields are before you major in something, and you have to know what subjects are your strongest. So, like, if you're a person that's not good in mathematics, it's probably not good for you to major in any kind of engineering or things like that, because a lot of math involved. But
and
even
you know
if
what
you go
too, John.
Into something like graphic design, say if you're a person who is more like on the artistic side, it would be better for you to go to an arts college than for you to go to some large type of university and major in art, and then you have to pay all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you could have saved money if you just went to an arts college. And on the side, if you learn something about technology, because most of the graphic design is done on computers.
Well, you know, another point, too, is that's why I come it's very important to start off very early experimenting with testing your children's ability in different disciplines, whether it's
right.
science, math, and so on and so on. And right. I'm always one whose proponents, I say that blacks as a society should take 100,000 of their children and do diligently apply them toward a certain high-paying profession.
Right.
Any of the paradigms within engineering, mechanical,
Pionky,
electrical,
Pionky,
so on.
Pionky,
so
let me ask you a question, though, Pionky. Okay.
Yes.
Like, this is the thing, right? Like, I agree, high-paying jobs, college education, that's good, but do you really think that, like, I do think that we should take a more, what's the word, entrepreneurial or business-minded investment approach. We should look at it that – I ain't going to say we, because everybody – when you say that, everybody's not a business owner. I understand they say that, but if you don't own and control something, it's about ownership and control to me. What do you own and control?
Well, yeah,
you don't own
I
and control
believe,
nothing.
Yeah, you're absolutely
yeah, it's
right.
Like, it's like – that's why if anything, if I have a child, he's going to read – I'm going to find a richest man in Babylon, different books, rich dad, poor dad. You got to have that mindset now. You can't just think –
Well, that's why they need to have a business. They need to have a business minor.
In the 60s, that's all we pushed for, jobs. We should have pushed for business ownership.
Yeah, you have to have a business.
Now everybody's job. Now we're fighting over minimum wage. We're fighting over give me crumbs off the table. That I want my crumbs. That's all. That's what it sounds like. Most people that own this phone have done conducted some sort of business. Know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. But what I was getting also going to include, we should direct your children into high paying professions, especially as John mentioned, you have to look at the trends, the forecast trends in employment, high paying professions, and also have a business minor. Business minor is very easy to obtain.
Bianca, to me, business is hard. Like you can be when I say hard, I mean not impossible, but you got people that are even – now, I'm not getting into racism and all that, but you got people that conduct business their whole life. You can fail at business. You have to really – you can read, make all the right predictions, and still be wrong in business.
I
enjoy it. It's like riding a bull. It's like being a bull rider or something. He can jerk you off. You just have to learn, and eventually you'll get a skill to where you're able to ride that bull. But at first –
Well, that's
like
where you made the wrong. I think
that's
where you make a mistake right there. I mean, if you're working with somebody, you in essence running a business. You running a segment of their business, yourself as an employee and the other employees combining together.
I agree, but there are a lot of hats that go into being that owner than it is than being an employee. I could be a great IT developer, but for me to start Facebook, there's a different. Well, that's resources, all type of different things, but it's going to take more than just – you got to have human resources. I ran my own comedy club. I wore every hat, marketing. I was the kitchen manager. I was the bar manager. I was the waiter's manager. I booked all the acts. I did – I mean,
yeah,
I wore –
Did you do that for somebody, though?
I did that all for myself. I could do it for someone else because I've done
it
for myself.
No, I'm saying, did you start off doing it for somebody?
Yeah, I've done some of that stuff. Not all of it. I had done
well,
some
see,
of
that's
it,
where
but
the,
not all of it.
That's where the difference comes. If somebody has been running work for somebody else, then they have the skills and the talent
okay,
in order to do it for themselves.
If you're not in upper management, if you're not in upper management and able to see the whole company from that, and you're just a cog in someone's wheel, you're saying don't go into business.
No, I'm saying
because
you were talking about welding. Somebody was talking about welding at first. A pipe fitter who's worked at that daily for a number of years have a better opportunity and a better success rate than somebody who's going to say, oh, I want to get into this business, have never done it before.
You said better. You said better. I agree. But you said I was erroneous because I said that if a person goes out and starts, we need to start businesses. And I said starting a business is like riding an animal, like riding a wild horse. And
well, it is
going to be difficult. Even that person that has welding experience, it's not going to be a smooth transition. He's going to still have a learning curve to step up to, even if he did it for someone else. He's not just going to go out there and start his own business because now you got to understand certain aspects of the business that you didn't have to when you worked for someone else.
You can get that in a very short period of time. I would say from about 9 months by going to junior college courses, SBA courses.
Why do most businesses fail if that's all it is to it? I think
because
it's more
people
to it.
People go into the businesses that they don't know.
Mm. And then also,
I don't know, Pianki. I can't say because across the board, everybody that goes into business is just ignorant. I think a lot of times you go into business and the market conditions change, like during the .com. I mean, not .com. That's a good one.
That's part of knowing the industry that you're going into.
Yeah, I know it's part of knowing the industry, but there's
good,
certain things that no one can predict. Or if that's the case, Bear Stearns and certain people would still be around. Bear Stearns went out of business. They didn't know the market? They knew the market.
Well, Bear Stearns went into a market where it's probably saturated, and they was going in for a small percentage, and they can easily get
Bear Stearns
out.
Been around 100 years. I mean, back then, they couldn't see 100 years in the future. Nobody can.
Well, then if that's the case, then they probably ran their gamut. We have companies here that ran their gamut. We have one still erected that's been around since 1909, and the owner, Bill Brown, his father is old. They're getting ready to close down because nobody, can take it forward. Nobody wants to in their family anyway.
Well, yeah, something that's been around a long time is different, but what I'm saying is that for the most part, it is a business. Now, how long it takes? That's all we're really arguing about, and we're not arguing. I do think you knowledge can be obtained. I agree with you. Just like real estate. Real estate is one of the easiest things to learn to get. I mean, it really is. But
when you if you go out to secure capital, people are going to look at you more favorably if you're trying to do something on your own that you've done for many years for somebody else.
Well,
any
commercial lender is going to say, hey, how much experience do you have? I mean, when you do your business plan, that needs to be in there because part of the business plan is going to include who are you, what do you have, because a lot of times they're going to want you to personally guarantee a lot of stuff sometimes.
Looking at the black dilemma, blacks have all the necessary talent and skills within their population to change their situation around. You got blacks that's been working for corporations for decades, know the business. Matter of fact, some of the corporations that's a controlling segments of the black market, economic market, that blacks need to be controlling themselves. And at some point in time, they need to pull out of that and start competing against the very ones that you work for.
But
now,
the main problem
I'll never
black
argue with that.
Is they have too much of the plantation mentality. They, they think they have to work for some large type of corporation.
Well, it's safer. Nobody wants to take risks.
To be successful.
It's not necessarily a plantation mentality. The thing is that it's safer because, you're going to have to give up your going to the club, and if that's something that's in part of your repertoire and many other things that you do for leisure.
But it pays off in the long run. But that's also part of the plantation mentality because anytime a slave was on the plantation, they knew that they would be saved by their slave master because the slave master is going to be the one to take all the responsibility if anything happens on the plantation. So that's why I'm saying that whole idea of not being independent and not being able to control your own future, that all feeds into the plantation mentality.
Well,
that's
I think, John, that's more of a human trait, because you got white folks never was on plantation who also anybody else also does the same thing. Now, I will admit that I see more business-minded and entrepreneur-minded coming out of Asians. And,
right.
And heck, even Nigerians. Look at them.
Right.
For some reason, I always go back to them to bring a point across. And I hear blacks talking about racism. We got to march. And that's what Nigerians ain't doing, no marching. And look
well,
at
the
success
why the
they
Asians
have.
Are that way because they have a strong sense of a self-identity. They have a very strong culture that's among themselves. And they're basically taught to be that way when they're over in Asia. So they just come to America and they get a grant from the government and they start up their Chinese restaurants.
Well, they don't get no grant.
That's
their mystical grant. I have yet to been able to identify
well,
that grant.
Okay, well, I think what he's saying, what Philadelphia's saying, and it's true, well, when people say that, they go and apply for the SBA minority-based loans. 85% of those go to agents. So that's what they do.
Yeah, and who put them in place? Those minority-based
loans. Our government, any minority can go and get them.
They came out of
the
civil
I'm
rights.
Not knocking, I'm not arguing with
they
you.
Came
one,
out of
I'm
the civil,
saying that they do go do
they
that.
They came out of the civil rights area, those loans that others take advantage of. And that's the reason why come Africans are so successful here, because they take advantage of the things that black Americans don't qualify.
I mean, but why is it that we spend a lot of time bolstering and propping up these Africans, but they don't go back to their homeland? I mean, you go back to the – I mean, let's look at Nigeria. I mean, they don't – there are a lot of things wrong with Nigeria. There's a book called A Capitalist Nigger where a guy goes in depth as far as in the ineptness of a lot of American lived Nigerians and Africans that live in America. They'll come over here and get a salary, get a good paying job. They'll own businesses over here, but they're not going to do anything in Africa.
But they send the money back home. And in essence, I
could
just
hold on,
this
might be a recruiter. Hold on 1 second.
In essence, John, I could just about match anybody tit for tat when they identify something that's corrupt in a Nigeria or, you know,
well,
another
see,
country.
But
I could just about
see,
show you
realize,
one similar here in America.
But see, what people don't realize about Asia and Africa, those societies are in the form of caste systems, and only a very small number of people are actually kind of allowed to rule. And the reason why Africa looks the way it does is because a lot of those African nations, they can't get the loans from the IMF that the Asian
countries
were
able to do. Well, they don't have
to.
They actually, that's good. They shouldn't be getting loans for IMF. They should be monetizing their own resources the way you see, Kenya. I think I just read where Kenya is getting ready to build a heck of a railroad with China, and Kenya has to pay part of it. So what they do, they monetize their resources, print capital against that, and that's how they pay for it. Mugabe has talked about that many times. Why would you go to the IMF and pay them interest on money that, guess what, they print anyway? It's not sitting there someplace. If they come up with it's debt financing, if they say, well, South Africa wants to borrow $1 billion, well, print up $1 billion and lend it to them and make them pay interest back on it. Well, hell, if that's the case, print up your own money and pay interest back to yourself.
Mm. Because people see the Chinese and the East Indians over here, but they don't realize the high levels of poverty that are inside India and China. You know, the people that you see coming over here, these are the people who were kind of in the middle of those societies. And they're allowed to come over here because they work hard and they've been able to get some type of education over there. So they come over here and do very well.
They come here and they have the skills, plus they pay full ride at your colleges. But see, here's another point. Why come black Americans are not doing the same thing? How come they're not going abroad, establishing footholds, quote-unquote beachheads?
The reason why they're not doing it, because they have that mentality. They don't have that cultural link to a foreign country like these other groups of people do. And they kind of rely themselves.
But they got a cultural
like,
link to the United States.
But they rely on the power structure here too much.
Well, I agree with you on that now.
To do things for them.
Go ahead, Aminti.
This is what I see. It's the mentality of black people here in America. You have to first have an entrepreneur type of mentality and confidence to even do that. If you say to your family, hey, I want to own a business, they're going to tell you, well, you still need to work, you still need to get a city job, and such and such. I mean, I know people want to talk all great about immigrants coming here for businesses. Not all of them do, because the Caribbean culture will work 3 or 4 jobs in America. You know what I'm saying? Their health is horrible. So it's still something there. And the Caribbean will argue with the black Americans as if they're better, but they don't see that they're in the same situation dealing with the same type of mentality. So what I personally see is that it is the mentality of the person. I don't think it's always so much of a race thing. What I do find with black people is that if you do mention business, even if you do mention something like that, you're not going to get the encouragement. You don't really need nobody to encourage you. You got to be self-motivated. But especially when it comes to family, no one's going to root you on. And then on top of that, you got crabs in the barrel. I have to call it out. You have people who will try to say negative or whatever and stop you from doing it. And I speak that from experience. You have people they won't be down with it. They'll want you to fail before you even succeed. So it's like it takes a certain type of mentality to really say, yo, I'm going to build this business. I'm going to do what I got to do. And, you know, and you're going to have to do it in silence on top of that. And everything else
will line up. Well, that's definitely true. And a lot of the ethnic groups, they have a tendency to kind of pool their money among each other. And so, like, if you have one Chinese restaurant that's about to go under, they can go to a special council of Chinese people in business, and they will loan them money to keep that store afloat. So,
they have a strong
sense of cultural identity among each other, and that's what allows them to prosper in business in this country, whereas the black Americans, they are kind of reliant upon the white power structure too much to do everything for them. That's the reason why they
I agree with you there, John. You're absolutely right.
Let me say this real quick. I have friends who are twins. One makes clothes, and the other one does jewelry. Beautiful pieces. Actually, they're Nigerian and from St. Dominica, but they're still American. They're still black American. You ask them, they're going to tell you that they're black women. And the point I'm making is they travel, they do their business, they make things happen. I know another group of twin girls. They're not my friends, but I know them. They're owner of Shade, and their business is booming. And these girls are young black girls doing this. But what happens is when you begin to do business like that, there's no color. You don't know that black women own these businesses, but they're doing well. And even when I started what I'm doing over here, when I go for services and to get the products that I need to get, I don't see black people. But as I build my business, I will come to some black people and ask them if they want to bring their products into my store if I like their products. You see what I'm saying? So I think that it's the lines, too, because even when I build my business, I don't want it to be known as a black woman owns this business. It's just what my business represents. So that becomes a part of it as well.
When I'm talking about business, I'm talking about manufacturing production, and also when I'm talking about professions, I'm talking about high end professions like mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, orthodontists, pharmacists, engineering firms, and so on and so on. And you know, Nigerians that I know of are very, very heavily involved, and also Kenyans as far as orthodontists and dentistry. Haitians when it comes down to radiologists, medical, and so on, so on, so on. So that's when I'm talking about people who have the ability to hire employees. You know, blacks in the last census survey had 1.9 million businesses, but they hire less than 1 million employees. So there's nothing wrong with those, but those wasn't the ones I was trying to emphasize on.
But I think what's going to happen is the African-American people who are in the business in this country, they're going to have to make some type of connection with a foreign nation over in Africa. And
they should, yes.
And that's the only way that you're going to – that's the only way that the black Americans are going to be able to break the rut that they're in.
That's the only way you can have leverage against – that's the only way you can have leverage against China and your Malaysia and those other countries that's out there producing. Because if your Chinas and your Indias start moving up and creating these middle classes, then you're going to go through the same thing that you see happen here in America. You want minimum wage to go from $5 an hour to $15 an hour. Then you're going to be, in essence, pricing yourself out of a market.
Well, you know, that makes sense anyway. If I want to, let's say if I was into fashion industry and I wanted to get certain clothes pieces and certain material and stuff, or wherever the pieces are made, that I will go straight to China. China will be the place that I will try to go to, or wherever, you know, is manufactured. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But
and
if
that's
you
the
wanted
reason
to...
why the Chinese, that's the reason why the Chinese have so much leverage in the American economy, because the American companies have had to take all the manufacturing over there because the manufacturers here, they weren't able to compete with the Chinese.
But you know, South Korea, who makes a lot of your camouflage clothing, you know, you see these shorts that's camouflage, look like army fatigues and so forth, fatigue.
Yeah.
They make those over in Ghana because the labor is more conducive than it is in China.
Right. And that's the only way that an African-American business person is going to be able to take their business to the international level of a Steve Jobs or a Bill Gates. They're going to have to take their manufacturing over to Africa or some African nation, and they're going to have to leverage their capital, the American capital they're able to generate, probably with the capital that's coming from a foreign nation in Africa. You know, and then if you started to see that happen, you would start to see more people who would be in the realm of an Oprah Winfrey worth over $1 billion. I mean, so you wouldn't have it the way it is now, where you only have like two people who are Black American who are actually
and
in
you
that
don't,
business strata.
You don't have
business strata.
You don't have to look to the world market. The first markets that you want to control is your own markets.
Right.
And you have access to those markets through affirmative action, going to, if a mentee is making designs and fashion in an African country, she can bring those designs and fashion back into this country, duty-free and tariff-free because of acts like the AGOA Act. If she just wanted to, if she wanted to do everything to them over there except for put the zippers and the buttons on, she could get the United States government to fund much of her operation to put people to work here putting zippers and buttons on. Then she go to your Targets, you go to your Walmarts, you go to your Kmarts and say, through affirmative action, I want 15% of your shelf space in order to display and sell my products, being that you are a Black American. So that's the way you do things
right.
From a sensible point of view. You got to control your own market. Man, anybody that don't control
right.
their own market, if you go out into the world and fail, then what strength are you going to fall back on?
Well, the main thing for the Black Americans here is they're going to have to get their children better educated because civil rights is going to be in the realm of education in the future. And, like, all these things dealing with affirmative action, that's about to be knocked down because you have people who are in this country from all over the world, and they don't want people to have to compete based on race anymore because you got East Indians over here, you got the Chinese over here, you have the Arabs over here now, and they don't know how to set up a system where somebody can just say, well, I'm a Black American, so therefore – if I apply to this university, I should automatically get some type of preference because of what happened during slavery. When
Philadelphia, they know what's going on. The Asians have figured out that they're the top of the food chain in education. So they're saying, you know what, let's get rid of this. Let's go just on merit alone, because they know they'll win out.
But
that's why they won. They used to be four affirmative back then in the 90s.
Really, Asians ain't on the top in education. It's the Nigerians. Nigerians outperform Asians in education.
Yeah, I agree, but statistically, it's the more of them over here than they are of them. They got, because Nigeria doesn't have any power economically. China has power. So we have to do things for the Chinese, whereas we don't have to do anything for the Africans. That's why they can't get over here.
Because the way it is now, if you look on any college campus, major university, most of the students are Asian. They put quotas on the college campuses with Asians.
They want to limit them to 20%.
Right. Because the Asians do very well in terms of standardized testing also. And that's something that African Americans have to do better at, because the Asians are definitely outperforming us in terms of grades and standardized testing across the board.
Let me drop a bomb right quick. I'm going to say this right here. When you pass a test, that doesn't necessarily mean you can run a business.
Right. That don't mean that you're the smartest. I was just about to say that. Like, I hear all this Asian stuff. This woman called Tiger Mom wrote a book about different cultures excelling more over other cultures and other cultures at the bottom. I don't care about that. That's all bullshit. And if these kids are so smart, why they need to have them in school 24/7, summer school, all this stuff? Why they gotta be in school so much if they so damn smart? Like, and I'm not even gonna get so deep into that. What I'm saying is, I'm starting to wonder, when I look at these tests, I'm like, yeah, these Asians are passing, but that don't make them smart. And if anybody ever knew Asian culture or been around Asian people, they're not the brightest. You understand?
Well, I got an answer for that. Yes, that's the criteria they use. If you score 20, if you score 2250 on the SAT, if you carrying a 32 or 33 on ACT, you can go to any prestigious school in this country, and many of them you can go to free. I know of African Americans. We got a girl here in the school, Sumner, who scored a 27 on an ACT, and she carried a 4.2 GPA, and she can go any place she wants to. So that's the criteria that they use.
Not with a 27.
Another
not
point,
with a
24/7. 24/7
not with a 27. Learning. Not and, with a 27. 27 is not going to get you in any college. It's not.
Well, in the state of Missouri, you're right. If you score a 31 in the state of Missouri, you can go to any state school free in the state of Missouri.
She scored a 27.
I don't know where she's her opportunity.
My niece had a 24 and cried like a baby because she couldn't get in. Yeah, it's a trip, man.
And my grandson's high school got a young lady that scored like a 32, and she's going where she wants to go. But here's another point. Practicing and improving your skills 24/7 is a good idea if you can do it.
Yeah.
And I give you an example. Just look at the black ball players that's coming from Cuba and the Dominican. That's what they do all day long.
Right.
They play ball.
Right. They
that's why they
the time. Right. And also the Hispanic baseball players, those countries actually sponsor them in terms of their training, and that's the reason why you have so many of them in the major leagues now in comparison to African Americans.
Hold on, I can understand that. Like, I'm a writer, I have to hone my craft, so I have to write, I have to study, I take classes. I understand that, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm starting to question intuitively this whole Asian are the smartest culture. This whole
I agree with you.
Let me
give you another example with the Asians.
They have a tremendous work ethic in terms of education. That's the reason why they do so well.
Yeah, but my thing is it proven that just because you're good at test taking and academic and math that you're going to be a better business person?
Absolutely.
I'm
going to tell you. Yes, it does.
I think you benefit understanding accounting. What I'm saying is, I think the nuts and bolts of running a business don't necessarily – you can actually get it. It makes it more difficult. But if you know how to add, multiply, and divide and subtract, I think you stand a shot. The nuts and bolts of business have a lot more to do than what you learn in academia. It just does.
Yeah, he's right. Because I mean – A drug dealer is a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm talking about legal businesses.
No, illegal or illegal. Just listen to what I'm saying. A pimp is a businessman. They have the gift of gab. They have the sense. They know how to add, subtract, and divide and multiply.
He's a salesman.
Right,
yeah.
He's a salesman. So what I'm saying is that type of stuff, even if you go to school for it or not, that type of stuff is like a natural skill.
Well, people can have natural gifts, but the man
watching this, and my stepdad, like, that takes natural skill. Like, he didn't finish. He just now finishing college to be a gunsmith and stuff.
How many black people we know can drop and rebuild a transmission? That's a skill, a trade. You know how to talk if they got great personality. You know how to talk to people. You could be a D student. Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book, Why A Students Work for C Students. Running a business
is way more involved
than just being making a good ACT.
Yeah,
I think we've kind of bought into that too much.
How many people?
All right, let me give you the U.S. Census stats on this, on businesses. Asian, African-American, and white. White,
I know,
women
got more business than anybody.
White women business, $167,900 a year. Asian woman, female-owned business, $167,600 a year. The African-American female-owed business, $40,367 a year. So something's going on there.
No, but I think that, but if you look at the minority businesses from the SBA, 85% of those go to minorities. Go to Asians. So I agree, but there are a lot more dynamics in running a business.
But let me ask
you
a
right.
question.
But a lot of these businesses that we see ran by Asians and ran by people from foreign countries, that they have a certain mentality of coming over here, I'm going to do. They want the business. Just like we talked about it a minute ago, half the time you get there because you show up and the other guy doesn't. We don't even think business. We think job.
Let me tell you something else.
Our numbers are
going to
be way lower.
When you go to your export and import classes where you get that license, Asians are predominant in those classes because their goods coming from their country have to clear customs that come into the country. Another point, too, in order for you to get your card so that you can participate in golf, these golf tournaments and so forth, those classes are predominant by Asians now here in the United States. So the people are targeting the high-paying professions and avocations. Blacks
right.
don't do
it's,
that.
Look, Pionki, it's easier if you make $150,000 a year to go into those high-paying jobs and make money and start a business. It's much easier.
Right.
$300 a week is easier. Easier to start a business with $3,000 than $300 a week. Nobody's going to argue with you on that.
So here's the thing. Why does it... And this is something I've learned just from being in New York and being around a lot of immigrants and stuff. I just feel like black people in this country, we are really being blocked and duped by this whole black and white thing. Because people of other cultures don't have the same type of mentality. And they do what they have to do. And they
because
make
that's what
happen.
I was saying, because they have a strong cultural identity when they come from these other countries.
You're absolutely right.
They have a self-identity which is much stronger than what African-Americans have.
Right, but... Why do black people have to make it a black and white race thing? Why can't we
because
just
that's
go
all
with
they
it?
Know. Because that's what they know. And that all goes back to slavery. And it all
that's
goes
not
back
all we
to
know. Hold on. That's not all we know. That's what has been. That's what's going on. That's what they're doing now.
That's what they throw
but
out
that's
there.
What they have been
that, that's what they're
to.
Going after. That's no. I'm not talking about the blacks. I'm talking about the dominant society of whites is going after. Those black people, they are being attacked. They are being, and we see certain aspects.
But what I'm saying is that the blacks who are upper middle class or who are talented, they feed into that as well. They automatically assume that if they go work for a white corporation, that's automatically going to cause them to do very well. They don't have to be completely responsible for some business because their white boss who's over the corporation, that person will be able to take care of all of their needs. And they don't want all of
that
responsibility of going out on their own and failing.
The black female-owned business grows less than any other ethnic groups, including the Hispanic, including the Asian, the American Indian, and Alaska Native, and also include the Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders.
Let me say black, something. Why does she have to? Why do I, as a black woman, do this business? Why do I have to put my face out there that I'm a black woman? Why can't it just be a business? Nobody needs to know it's a black
woman. Why do the other ones? Because people target their own markets first.
Because
do you see any Hawaiian businesses in the hood?
Oh wait! If people are talking their own market,
it makes sense.
Hold on, Tianki. Let's be smart here. So let me, for example, I can take the double twins I just explained to you. When they advertise their stuff, there are Asian women, there are white women, there are black women, there are African women, there are different women that are advertised in their stuff. So you don't know what race of a woman is advertising those stuff.
It's going by the quality of the product as well.
Let me tell you right now, have you ever heard of, it's called Coco and Breezy Shades. They call Coco and Breezy. They make their own shades. Beyonce, Kelly Rowland. No, not Kelly Rowland. The other one, Kelly Osbourne, Nicki Minaj. They was even Beyonce video. All these different celebrities have worn these girls' shades before. Even my friend wore her ring. Nobody knows that black women own those businesses.
Black woman don't manufacture. Listen to this. The Asians have 397,000 firms who hire 2.8 million people. The black American has 1.9 million firms, and they hire number of employees 909,000. The black American total receipts, $135 billion. The Asians' total receipts, they got less firms. They have less firms. Their receipts is over $506
billion. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you have to ask yourself, what is going on with black folks?
Because black folks are too reliant on this black-white paradigm. The ones who are talented in business, they want to go work for the white corporation. They don't want to do their own thing because they don't have that self-identity. Cultural self-identity.
Asians with 1.5 million firms compared to blacks 1.9 million firms, Asians earn by four times more than the blacks do.
Hold on, Pionki. This is the thing, though. A lot of blacks sit and talk about racism. I guess I'm co-signing what you're saying. A lot of them are sitting and complain about racism and this and that. Then you talk to them. Okay, so what happened when you went? I never went to the bank. I never. Okay, how many savings? I got this car note. I got child support. You've never tried to go out to do, and most of us have not tried. Every Asian I know, I'm in Montgomery. I know a few Koreans because the Hyundai plant is here. Every one of them is in the bank. They're doing what they got to do. They're working on their tax returns, and that's what they do. They go for it. We don't even go. We just don't even look. We don't even try. So the few that do try, they see the struggles that they have, and they say, oh, man, look, this is an example of what they'll do to a black man when he tries. Well, yeah, but, I mean, so what do you do? Just sit there and work and then die? And money's not wealth. That's just, you know, the way you know money's not wealth when you retire is you got a nest egg. Unless that nest egg, if you got just a lump sum of cash, that's not wealth. Wealth to me is something that you can pass on for generations.
Yeah, and this, I mean, if you have wealth,
black people think
that
money
you can
is
pass
wealth.
On a business or property or real property onto the next generation, that's wealth. It's not the money that you can pass.
Well, you can pass money on to the next generation also. That's one of the things I'm always harping about.
But if they consume it, we all consume money though, Pionki. So if you pass me $2 million,
some people in retirement,
in 5 years I'm broke, then you really didn't leave. You know what I'm saying? But if you left me some apartments and some businesses, then you get what I'm saying. As long as I manage them properly and make sure they're running right, I got an infinite supply of money.
I understand what you're saying, but some people in their retirement make more in retirement than they did when they was working.
Yeah, but that's because they set up – within your retirement nest egg, you have some hard assets that can supply you with wealth. That's why
I kind of
made that
you also, out of their retirement, you're receiving monthly, you you can still continue to contribute to that retirement.
Well, I mean, the point, the gist of the point wasn't to go into the intricacies of what retirement looks like. What I'm saying is we think wealth is money. That's why these NBA players with all these millions, we think they're wealthy. No, they're living. They're consuming every dollar they make. They're not doing anything with it. They're not buying anything to set themselves up to where they can own and control something. So in the long run, they're going
to
fall on their face.
3 to 5 years. And after 3 to 5 years, they haven't managed their money well. That's one of the reasons why black businesses go under, because a lot of the people who are over the business, they don't know how to manage money properly.
Well, you know, I think one of the problems that black businesses have is that they don't control. I keep going back to the same aspect. You don't control the markets that your own people consist of. Others are. And if you don't do that, it's just like a house. It reminds me of a bicycle wheel, where you have the axle and the spokes that run out toward the perimeter, which is the rim. If one of those spokes break, you still have other spokes running to the axle to support that perimeter. But that axle is your own market. If you don't control your own axle, if you don't control your own market, then the perimeter rim will soon collapse.
But Pionki, if we speak practically speaking, I mean, I agree. Okay, black people don't consume fruit from other black people. I agree. Now, I'm black. I'm trying to start a business. I'm trying to own and control, create some wealth. What do I do? Because I know that black people aren't going to come to me. Let me finish. I wasn't asking the question. I was trying to give the point I'm trying to make is that I agree with you that we don't, but it's either fight or nothing. Do nothing. Do I sit here and say, well, if I start a business, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where
well,
I have
you
to
can,
wait
you can get
on black people. Only,
but
let me finish. I'm not
going
to put myself in a place where I got to wait to only black people to consume. So I got to use my brain. Just like you talked about with that degree and finding the right education to get
do.
The right amount of money, you got to think the same way in business.
That's exactly what they do. They only spend 6% of their total spending dollars with other black people. When my business, I could not start a business here, then go do a job in Chicago or Philadelphia. I had to have a strong base here that was generating cash flow for me to be able to fund those external projects in Chicago or Philadelphia. I would dare to go to Chicago and Philadelphia. I don't have no jobs going on here where I can take capital to fund those external jobs.
Yeah,
that's a recipe for suicide.
Right.
We got companies here that are strong in America, then they go abroad into other countries. You cannot go abroad in other countries if you're not strong here.
But then also what you had said before is they have more of a vertically kind of oriented business where they'll get their supplies from the same supplier as all of the Chinese restaurants in the area. So, you know, like they're only going to one supplier, all their manufacturing is coming from one place, and when one business is in trouble, they have like a council set up where they can pull money and they can loan money to businesses that are in their group that happen to be that are currently having problems. So those are the types of structures in terms of their infrastructure, which allows them to do well as a group, whereas African Americans don't have those things in place.
And I'm not, and you know, here's another point. Not all African Americans. You do have black Americans that's abroad doing business in Africa and Jamaica and, you know, in other countries. So and we're not talking about all, but we're saying that there's a lot much more room where there needs to be more, especially in you.
Yeah.
If you only spend 6% of your total dollars with your own people, something wrong.
But also what happens with African Americans is you have the pool of talent is diluted. That's the reason why when you look in these neighborhoods, they're all torn up because the people who were the doctors and the lawyers and the business people, they fled the neighborhood and they went out into the white suburbs and they got a job with the white man, and the people who couldn't do for self, they were left to be poor and to rely on the crumbs that came from these low-wage jobs that they were able to get, and they couldn't afford to keep their properties up. And their properties got blighted, and people turned to crime to make money. And this is what happened.
You in Philadelphia, John?
Ghettos. in this country.
You in Philadelphia, you got, do you have areas in Philadelphia where you got block after block after block, nothing but bare land, no houses, they're all gone?
Right, yes, yes.
What part of Philadelphia is that?
Well,
is that
most
north?
Of the African Americans happen to live in West, and like,
and that's where that, like, condition exists, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, basically, it's all over, but most of it is, most of it happens to be like in North Philadelphia and in West Philadelphia, where you have a lot of blight, where you have a lot of abandoned housing.
Was that occupied by African Americans?
People with rundown houses, huh?
Let me ask you another question. Was it not democratically controlled?
Yes, it was. It's controlled by the Democrats mostly, yeah.
And here's the thing. If you can see that, why do they continue to, if blacks move out of that area, which they would ran out of there into another area, why do they continue to go by the same political representation?
But the reason why they do it is because most blacks are not in the high income range, so they rely on some type of government subsidy to keep themselves afloat, whether it's to help pay their gas bill, their electric bill. And most blacks work in the public sector. They do not work in the private sector. So therefore, if Republicans get in power and they shrink the government, that's going to cause them to lose their job, because most blacks, they work for the
Well, with
state,
Democrats in power, look what happened to the neighborhoods.
But the reason why their neighborhoods are blighted is because you have a lot of poor people living in these neighborhoods. They can't, if they happen to own the property, they can't afford to keep the property up.
And
if
when they move the poor people
that,
out, when
know,
they move the poor people out, do they push
them? The property, he's not getting enough rent from his.
I understand
that,
but check
up.
This out. When they move the poor people out, do they move them into white areas, or do they move them into the so-called affluent black areas?
Well, what's going to happen, I mean, after they gentrify these neighborhoods, they're going to move people who were in public housing, they're going to move them out of state, meaning that they're going to move them down south, they're going to move them down to Delaware or down to Maryland or down to South Carolina. They're going to encourage people who were in public housing in most of these big, type urban areas like Philadelphia, Chicago, or Detroit or whatever, they're going to move these people back down south.
You know what the face of public housing is today? The face of public housing is today is not big multi-story buildings. It's where you had whites living in like a chalet or this, that, or the other, where you had townhouses and row after townhouse. They would move out, then they would take those townhouses and turn them into Section 8, then put poor people into them. In many cases, it's the areas that blacks who lived in the city, and see, this is where it hurts black people, because them houses they moved from the city, whatever equity that they had in them has diminished to nothing, and they were walking away from those places. They move into these suburbs, and they bring those poor people adjacent to the suburbs, and the next thing you got is the cycle is going over and over and over again.
But what I'm saying is what's going to happen is you're going to get a reverse migration.
Oh, we know
that.
I know that's what you call
New
land
York.
Reclamation.
I mean, blacks that were living up in the New
in,
York area.
In St. Louis, they called it, in St. Louis, they call it the T4 plan. I don't know what they call it in Philadelphia. It's the same thing. They reclaim the land.
Right.
They let it run down. They redline it, and they let it run down, and so on, so on, so on. And sooner or later, it gets so unbearable, people move out. They come in, tear down all the structures, then they reclaim the land.
Right.
It starts off at a state level where states create these agencies that can bank land, land bank, and that's just what happens.
Yeah.
And it comes under Democrats.
That's what's happening here. Yes, hello? Yeah, but that's what's happening here. I mean, what's happening here is, you know, in Philadelphia and Baltimore, they had row houses, whereas if you were up, like, in the New York City area, you had those big townhouses. You can't afford to buy a townhouse up in New York because that's like $2 or $3 million. You got an average income.
The row houses that was close to the university. What is that, Temple University there in Philadelphia?
Well, you basically have a section which is more like University City section, where you have Drexel, the University of Penn, and they bought up a lot of the property and expanded their campus. And if you had neighborhoods that were close to Center City, they started to, you know, renovate a lot of those places. But in terms of Baltimore and Philadelphia, the average African-American, if they had an average income, they could afford to buy a row home where here, like in this location, whereas they couldn't do it if they went up to a place like New York City because they'd be priced out of the market. The best they could do is be a tenant, and they would
have
to live in some type of tenant building.
I'm going to say this, and I say it with a little reluctance, but I don't see no way out for the condition that blacks in America are in.
No. Well, the only way they'll be able to do anything, they have to generate some type of economic council. They got to completely restructure their economic infrastructure, and they got to make it connected.
Also, if they change their economic, the way they do economics, I think you're right. I think that economically, they can change in that. If you start to own it, you got to start where you are as well. I mean, we can talk about making.
And I shouldn't have said it like that. I shouldn't have said that there isn't a way out because we know there is, but I don't see them moving.
It's going to be kind of hard to change a mentality. You're right.
There
you
go.
But if they do,
I don't see them moving toward it.
I mean, I agree. I can't, but there are people that are making certain inroads, like the guy Jason Black, the 7 a.m. documentary is actually, and he's probably going to raise over six figures to be able to go after and start putting a lot of what we're talking about out, because most black Democrats and most black quote-unquote leaders aren't talking about that. And a lot of these brothers that are so enlightened, all they're talking about is ancient Kemet in Egypt. They're not really talking about, okay, well, how can we win? They don't. This is the only guy I've seen come out that's starting to talk about this is how you win. And you know, you can worship all the ancient Kemet religion all you want to, but you need to come with some real power, wealth, and influence, and that's what he's talking about.
What we talking about is not going to come from them anyway. They good at what they do where they are.
Who?
The ones you just got to mention. The ones that's on the scholarship, they're not going to – see, black nationals is not going to change the economic paradigm of black people. They don't have the capability of doing this. It's not in their mindset. Their mindset is that
so you
the ones
that – So you're saying Marcus Garvey – what Marcus Garvey was talking about would not have
well,
changed.
Well, Marcus Garvey, that ain't – the one – Marcus Garvey ain't today. Marcus Garvey was a whole different man. I'm talking about the ones you're talking about ancient Egypt and Kemet and so forth. They
yeah,
are not
yeah,
going to change.
I agree. Now, that's the problem. I have problems with a lot of these guys. I got friends that'll stay on Facebook posting all these, you know, white-haired, blonde, blue-eyed Jesus posts, but then they work at they wash dishes, and they're not working on any. I'm like, man, are you really going to – what are you really going to do besides sit on Facebook and talk trash
Amenti
about religion all day?
What you say,
Amenti? Intellectual masturbation. That's what it is.
No, honestly, the ones that are really actually making money, they're ripping people off in the community. I mean, I just have to call it what it is.
Oh, yeah.
They're ripping, you, they don't, let,
lecture
let me,
after lecture.
One of the biggest things that they do, they send you to an event in an isolated area where you can't get any food or anything else. You're forced to eat whatever the hell, vegetarian food or whatever, or popcorn or whatever they're serving there. Then when you get there, there's like 20 vendors in there.
Selling books, black soap, shea butter.
Yeah, it's 20
drums and African clothes.
And you're paying like, I'm not complaining about the door fee. You know, you're paying like $30 or whatever to come. Then the food is expensive. I'm not really complaining much about that. Then the food is expensive as well. You got to wait in this long line because you're forced to eat whatever it is because you can't get anything else. My whole point is they don't set up like a seminar. They don't set up like a New Life Expo thing. I just think what irritates me is they hustle their own people. You know, that's what irritates me about that community. They want to talk about business. They want to talk about this and that. But there's people in the community that's ripping people off because they're playing off people's vulnerability.
Now, the ones today, but the old ones.
Like what you're talking about right now is, listen, you know, if you're going to, you know, about tell people to get houses and all this stuff and own, people know they want to own business and do something and up their situation. But these people are ripping people off.
Now, the old ones, you know, going back, the Dr. Ben and John Henry Clark, Ivan Van Sermon, and Chancellor William back in the days, they did do good things because people took what they learned from them and did start a whole host of schools. But the one that they are – now, I'm not going to say they're not needed. Yeah, they need it because people, you know, like to gravitate to that type of information. But they are not the ones that's going to create these economic paradigms.
No. Well, the only way you're able to create these economic paradigms, you have to get outside of America. You have to get a business person who has an international perspective.
But hold on, John, let me tell you something real quick. You have people that's doing that. You have people that's going outside of the country, getting goods and doing all this stuff, but they're being selfish, and they're hustling. Once again, they're hustling the people. They're like, yo, if you want to be a part of this program or this empowerment program, you got to pay this much money, this and that.
I can't argue with you. I can't argue with you because I feel like a lot of these guys, they talk about the preachers, but they're pretty much the same thing. I mean, these guys, and then a lot of them, they bootleg each other's DVDs. I mean, like Tariq Nasheed, they'll bootleg the man's DVDs. They're bootlegging. I mean, these guys are a bunch of, they're supposed to be so spiritually enlightened. And I'm saying if everybody switched to this religion and did everything you said do, you look at you, you're stealing. You're not on this super high enlightened level yourself. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's not the answer to me. Like, all this ancient stuff, that ain't the answer. The answer to me is what we're talking about, economics. That's it. I mean, I'm a Christian, but at the same time, economics, man, if you're going to change a person's situation, you got to feed them. You got to have something to control, to have. If you don't own and control nothing, then you're wasting your time.
But that's the point I'm making. There's people that have this knowledge, but they're hustling the people and they're using it all for themselves.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
We understand that.
He's talking to Malachi York own building and put his
but
people
in. But the thing is you find those kind of people in every ethnic group. I mean, you have Indians that will go out and they'll try to hustle other Indians because they come into that caste system. But the difference is the ethnic group itself has that self-identity. That's what African-Americans don't have. They don't have that sort of a collective cultural identity that these other groups have. That's their problem.
And that's quite evident because everybody comes up with a scheme say that we are all this, we are all Moors, we are all Hebrew Israelites, we are all Christians. So they're trying to increase their numbers, which is very, very meager because blacks don't have no identity, like you say, other than the fact that they're United States citizens.
To bolster his point, the reason the Japanese actually got their reparations was in the 80s. Japan was one of the most strongest economies in the world. They had something they could punish people with. If you're talking about integration and coming together, if one party has nothing to integrate with, they're going to lose.
They don't have no leverage.
And you don't have anything. That other party, if they do you wrong, you can't turn the spigot off. The Japanese could turn the spigot off. Bam, they got reparations.
If you don't have no leverage, you won't get no reparations.
To hurt white America. Right. Nothing.
Yeah, and the reason why they don't have any leverage is because on the plantation, the slave master was the one who fed you, who was able to give you shelter, who gave you clothes to wear, and that same mentality has translated over today.
It still exists.
That's why they call us Uncle Tom. But you and Uncle Tom, though, we're all Uncle Toms because we're talking about independence and freedom.
Right.
And Let me finish this one point. It's almost like we're saying, let's leave the plantation because we don't know where our clothes are going to come from. We don't know where the shoes, the housing, the food. But let's leave and let's go earn our own shoes, house, food, and clothes. When you say something like that, get ready.
And that same slave thing continues today. Just plot out the life of a black child that's born by a black mother in a public hospital all the way to prison.
Right.
Not all.
I was in the gym the other day. This guy said if he get into it with a guy, he don't have a problem pulling the trigger. And I'm just sitting there